The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. Oh, it's a deep burn. Oh, so deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn,
and my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We are ready to go here at Gillette Stadium. I've got my face mask earphones on today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I see it.
Like the punters.
You don't have any eye black
single bar
on.
Punters.
You should have your eye black on now with that look.
That's actually uncomfortable, so I'm going to switch that. Tom Brady's back at practice, so that's good. I actually heard a rumor this morning that he had come and left. And
You didn't even hear a rumor.
Good thing
I had a bad source.
Good thing I didn't tweet that.
Yes. Well, oh, my God.
You would never have done
maybe
so.
Maybe he forgot something at home.
Yeah, he might have left and then came back.
Or maybe you shouldn't believe a guy running an elevator.
All right. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. It's still, you know, you still have that AFC Championship pregame buzz. There's still national people milling about. You know, you look at the press conferences on Patriots.com, and it's got that red AFC Championship background.
Which doesn't really work very well.
You don't like it?
Well, no, I actually, and when they were talking about it, the thing is too high. You don't really get, you need the step and repeat that we use. You need the smaller repeated logos because of the different camera angles and heights and everything. You kind of lose.
I agree.
Most of them just look like they're in front of kind of just an all red backdrop.
I would ask this too, in this day and age,
this day and age.
We have the board behind for Bill's press conferences all the time, right?
Right.
Can't they nowadays just
absolutely.
Yes, it makes no sense.
Why not just have that?
We could have uploaded their background.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been a little pixelated, but.
Yeah. Well, we could have uploaded
always
their
has
background.
To, always has
we
to.
We could have done that. But I didn't want to get into
imagine
a whole
that.
Discussion
this
about
day and age.
Press conference backgrounds. But the point is.
Prejudice against pixelated.
You know, it's a different feeling. It's a different feeling than you usually have before a game.
It's win or go home.
You know, I love it. It's great. You know, it leads up to when the Patriots go to New Jersey next week. This is all good. All good. Tom Brady's going to have a press conference today and tomorrow. Bill Belichick today. So are you guys feeling it?
Bill today?
Yeah, I think he's at 12:45 or something. Like
no, that's Brady.
I think it's all players today. Tomorrow.
Bill,
yeah, I think it's Mankins, Brady. Oh, no, Mankins is a conference call.
Mankins is a conference call. Brady is talking
Minkovich.
Today. I wouldn't be surprised if Brady doesn't end up talking tomorrow because he's talking today. But
well, I think he has to talk tomorrow. That's, yeah. That's like
he does have to talk twice. Yeah.
I think that's a league press. Remember, they used to do it at the hotels.
Right.
Thankfully, they did away from that.
Yeah, Brady 12:45, Ninko right afterwards.
If the away fly team down. Would fly down their coach and captain,
yeah. As Bill Belichick would say, that's so ridiculous.
It is.
It really is. Like, who thought that was needed or a good idea?
Yeah.
Like,
not as ridiculous as flying there to do that, flying back so they could fly back with the team.
That is true.
Right.
So ridiculous. Like we did.
Thank you, Bill. That is ridiculous.
Which some teams used to do.
We did.
Any news that we need to bring up besides Tom Brady back at practice?
Well, it's now. I don't know if we've officially, Bert Breer got the information, so now we can say the team is definitively leaving on Friday.
Yep.
He's tweeting about it. He says, you know, the first time this year they've done that. Well, it's the first time this year they've had to.
Pretty much any time they've gone past. Have we?
Oh, once, right?
The Mississippi
Houston?
River.
Houston is the longest trip.
Yeah. Houston's the only time we've been out of the Eastern time zone.
Right.
Right, exactly.
So much ado about nothing.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, I guess you could argue.
Miami, they have done that.
Well, but it's a change. Like him making it stick out is saying it's different than what they've dealt with all year. It's a change.
Yeah.
But it's a change because it's a different
circumstance. But it's par for the course anytime we go to the West Coast.
Yes,
or
Denver.
I think that generally we go on Friday for Denver, San Diego, certainly the West Coast trips.
San Francisco.
So not a big deal. I've had a lot of people, though, you know how you get people emailing the website and they have advice for the team?
I love those.
You know, whether it's
Jack
a play
in the Box.
Not everyone, but I've had a handful of people. You must tell Bill Belichick he has to leave early because of the altitude. They must acclimate themselves to the thin air.
He's never heard that before.
I know.
Never played there before.
Yeah.
Not even when he coached there for a full season.
Right. The Patriots are well aware of that. And if you listen to Ty Law, he says, don't listen to anyone. It does make a difference. It does make a difference. And
certainly
I think
for
it
the
does,
short,
but
fat guys with questionable conditioning.
That's because Ty was always out of shape.
But teams, coaches don't like to talk about that.
Jermaine Wiggins tells you it's a big deal.
It is. It really is.
Oh, I know, but it affects the fat
He's
guys that are
a
out
point.
Of shape.
It's
more.
The guys who aren't in shape.
Antoine Smith tend to struggle.
And I'm not sure, so if people think, well, that's why they're going on Fridays to acclimate with it, that's not it either. You don't do it in one day. You don't acclimate yourself in one day. It takes a while for, like, your blood.
More for the time zone.
Yeah, it's more for the time zone thing and because it's a longer flight.
It's a long flight, yeah.
You know? But, look, the Patriots have played there many, many times. Other teams play there many, many times. So let's not go freaking out about the thin air, right. Mile High
The only person that ever had to freak out about it was, what's his name? Steelers guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who, like, it was it?
Ryan Clark.
Could die.
It does make a difference, but they've got the oxygen on the sideline, and,
both teams play in it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, but they live there.
Yeah.
It does make a difference. It's an issue, but it's not the issue. It's not a huge impact on the game, I don't think.
No, the bigger impact, in my opinion, is the fact that it's going to be 63 degrees with a 6-mile-an-hour wind, and that, I think, is a negative for the Patriots. I would have liked to have seen about 35 and a 20-mile-an-hour wind. I would have taken my chances in that.
So you're looking for ways to slow down Peyton.
Yeah, I think the limp noodle can get it done in this weather.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm missing the MLS draft.
No.
Super draft, Paul.
Yeah, I refuse to call it by their little names.
So,
I'm sorry, it's the Super Draft, the 2014 MLS Super Draft. It's in Philly, I believe, this year.
You know,
it's a handsome man delivering the
The Revs get like the fourth pick, I think, Paul.
Yeah, they did. They traded for it.
You know, he can actually hear you talking with those ears.
Another thing that I was thinking about, a lot of people have been comparing this team to the 2001 team. You know, this season
you
reminds me so much of 2001.
Robert Kraft made that
correlation. Yeah,
we'll tiptoe through the next sentence, I hope.
Well,
kind of why I wanted to give him a little heads up.
You know, I think in terms of where the Patriots are now, they're the underdog like 2001 was, but not at the start of the season. At the start of the season, 2001 was coming off a 5-11 season, and you look at that offensive roster other than Drew Bledsoe, there was nothing on it. That's not how we thought we were going into this season. Now, because of the injuries, it's kind of turned out like that, but then you look at the defense in 2001 where they went into the playoffs, much better defense personnel-wise than we have today. So, yes, it's similar in that they're going to be the underdog, but that's where it ends. Personnel-wise, it was very much different on both sides of the ball.
I think now they're just kind of the normal underdog.
They're the 2 seed going on the road to the 1 seed.
Yeah.
You're supposed to
be the
underdog.
That's why I agree with Fred. In 2001, they were underdogs pretty much every step of the way.
Right.
They went to the Meadowlands to play a big game against the Jets in like November or December. They weren't supposed to win.
Right.
They did. They played Miami late in the year here. Everybody thought Miami would win and win the division.
And let's face it.
The Patriots won.
We go into these games since, you know, this decade, and we say, well, Patriots have the advantage with Belichick and Brady. Back then, we weren't so sure.
You didn't have that.
We weren't so sure. Maybe they did, but we didn't know that.
I mean, the Patriots have gone into all of these games as 2-score favorites until now. As Andy says, now you're the 2. You're playing at the 1.
Like, what would the spread be?
You're a 4.5-point underdog, or 5.5-point underdog.
Well, would the Broncos be favored here?
Probably by 2, 2.5.
I'm not sure. The Patriots would be favored.
I think the Patriots would be favored.
It might be a push.
Favored.
It might be a push.
This season reminds me more, not of 2001, but of 2006. When you had a team that a lot of people thought, I remember that was when Paul brought out the Shoemakers line with all the wide receivers. Like, how did they make it this far with all of these Shoemakers at wide receiver? And you got the feeling that whole time that they were like, how is this team where they are?
But
then they go into an Indianapolis.
I agree with Eric on this. I think it was a dramatic overachievement. Yeah.
Well, I think because of the injuries. I think if it weren't for the injuries, this
might
team,
be a little different, right?
This team would be for one thing, Denver would be coming here. If it wasn't for the injuries, and they would be favored, and they would have been a much better team. But I think, and my point, my bottom line is, this is a unique team. I don't think you can compare it to any of these other teams that have made the playoffs because of the injury situation this year. When they started this season with who we thought was going to be on the team, this could have been one of the best Patriots teams that we've seen.
Well, I didn't think that.
Dramatically disagree with that.
I didn't.
I think now
violent,
we know
violent
it could
disagreement.
Have been. I think now we know it could have been.
The other,
I mean, they were. They,
so you think the only reason why they lost 4 games is because of injuries?
I think they might have been, 14-2 or something like that. I mean, you're gonna
lose the
injuries, game every once.
I think the injuries make games close. Is what the injuries did. But they ended up winning them all.
But I also think it made it a lesser team. And I think if they
that's why the games were closer.
Right. And if they had not had those injuries, they would be favored throughout, and we wouldn't be worried about the Seahawks or 49ers.
I don't know how I'd feel, but I just need to say what I said in the beginning, and I didn't think this was a great team.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
When we started the year,
I think this team is overachieved.
Right, but you were wrong. You can admit that now.
Right.
Why? You can't overachieve?
Yeah, I don't know
you
what
you can't
it would
get
have
more
been.
Out of your talent than you have?
I think
you can't have a great coach?
I think they overachieved, but what I'm saying is now we know, had they been healthy, they would have been even better
but
than
what
they
if the
are
other
now.
Teams were healthy?
Well, I'm talking if they didn't have the decimating
right.
When,
and what
that
if that didn't happen to any other team?
It didn't happen to any other team the way it happened to the Patriots.
As long as we're being
balanced. Oh, come on, Paul. Be fair.
I get it.
Ding ding.
Be fair.
I'm not going to get into it because
every
you can't be talking like the Patriots had them this year. I'm not going to ruin.
Come on.
Listen, I'm not going to ruin an hour and 45. You can keep just saying, "Oh my God." I'm not going to ruin an hour and 45 minutes. Trying to convince you of something that I can't convince you of.
So you think every team has had injuries like the Patriots?
That's not what I said. Okay. Don't do Andy's thing. Don't make it a hyperbole.
Don't drag me into this.
No, don't make it a hyperbole. Like I said, that 31 other teams have suffered more injuries than the Patriots. It's not what I said.
And it's not the amount,
I said
Paul.
Every team has suffered significant injuries to important players.
Right.
The Patriots
as
have had.
As much as the Patriots?
Denver is right on par. Oh, if you want to match them up, Denver is really, really close. They lost an all-pro tackle, an all-pro defensive end, their best cornerback, their best safety, their best defensive tackle. You can go right on down the line.
It's nothing like the
Patriots. I know, because you just don't want to say it. And I don't want to – listen, I don't want to drag the show down. It's fine. But you made a comment that this Patriots team might have been the best team the Patriots have ever had. And if every one of those guys was healthy, I don't think that that's an accurate statement.
I
don't think this team could hold a candle to 2004 in terms of talent.
I do.
In terms of talent, it's not even close.
Absolutely it could. Absolutely it could.
Okay, well, that's your opinion. That's fine. We don't have to bog it down with an argument. Let's move on.
If was healthy and Mayo was still there and Wilfork was still there, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
How are they doing it then? Without those guys.
Because they have a great coach and they have a great quarterback.
Right, so that's all it takes.
Yes.
Okay. I guess.
That's how Denver is still doing it.
Right.
Despite losing all the guys I just mentioned.
It has nothing to do
They have a great quarterback.
It has nothing to do with the depth that they've had.
Very little. You think this team is better talent-wise than 2004?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
I don't.
Not the current roster.
No, the team, you know, with yeah. Mayo and Wilfork.
Yeah.
You think that, and Gronk, you think yeah. it's better?
I think Fine. It would have been better.
Okay. Yes, I can't argue
I can't
with
go
you.
There. Yep.
But how can you argue? That's an opinion. I can't argue with that. Yeah. I can't
I think,
argue with you.
I think
That's your opinion.
The way the defense started, the way it was trending.
I think the Patriots have had five teams better than this
for
one.
For once, the defense was starting well, you know, and then it just
They played three games.
And then it just got hurt with, you know, killed with injuries, and, you know, the core of the defense was gone. And so we never really got to see it in for, you know, what it truly could do.
Well,
I
saw the 2004 defense dominate 16 straight weeks.
I really think that, you know, do you think the offense could have been better this year than 04?
No.
Okay. I don't either.
See, I can't argue with that. I mean,
if Gronkowski was there, that the offense would have been fine this year.
I mean, Fred, you're comparing it to the best team.
I mean, I just don't think they were better.
They were already second in points.
Corey
in the
Dillon
AFC
did
without all these people.
What LeGarrette Blunt did for 3 weeks, Corey Dillon did for 16
oh,
in
please.
2004.
Hey, Fred.
No, we didn't.
Breaking news that'll make you happy.
What?
The Jets have just agreed on a multi-year extension with Rex Ryan.
Multi-year?
Wow. Yes.
Wow. Wow. Like, multi is in more than two?
Schefter, yeah. Schefter's
if it's multi,
just
it's more than one.
The Jets and Rex Ryan have agreed to a multi-year extension.
I said more than two.
He said more than two.
I know, but if it's multi-year, it's all you know is it's more than one. Unless it says how many years.
Otherwise, he would have said a four-year extension.
I said,
extension.
Is it multi-year?
Angry pause
here.
Is it
more
than
it. Two?
That's no, what, but the reason they're saying multi is because most people would assume they're just tacking on a year to a lame duck coach.
Right, that's what I want to
so
see.
It's a two-year extension. Well, I'd be stunned if it isn't.
Well, that's what I want to determine.
He's but
we
be
don't
fired
know.
If they don't make the playoffs.
Because if it's a two-year extension, I'm not surprised. If it's more than that, I'm surprised.
And that is per Schefter.
So.
You know, just arguing about everything today.
I know.
It's been a tough week for these two.
I think if I knew, he would have told you how many years it was. That's all I was saying.
It could be the headline. You click
especially
on it, and it
on
tells
Twitter.
You the details.
Multi-year is a lot more than 7 years.
Yeah, right.
The number.
Right.
Paul, you've never clicked on a headline?
It's
if you know the number,
it's
you
a terrible
number.
Headline if it said multi-year extension, and then in the first paragraph it said three-year extension. It should say in the headline, Ryan signs three-year extension. I'm just trying to give Kevin
Fred,
a little.
What day is
you
it?
Attack the
it's Thursday.
Is it 2 years?
What day
is it one
it?
Day?
Right.
It is not Thursday.
Kevin,
not really,
Ryan.
It's Friday.
How many years?
Ryan
been,
signs 3 year deal. Find out how long this multi year extension is. Story ahead.
Bombing thing would have done it.
All right. Web radio at Patriots.
Don't talk to me about multi year extensions. I need to know how many.
298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500. Is the toll-free number.
I think it's a good thing this is our last show of the week, because I'm not sure you two would make it.
Like, Paul is just really upset about the prospects of this season.
Well, you're both being a little ridiculous. This team is not as good as the 04 Patriots.
I don't have anything against
you. Right now
you're
it isn't.
I think it had who you had.
I think it had the potential to be.
I think you're totally disrespecting the 2004 Patriots. No. I think they would have wiped the field with this team. Absolutely turned it over, bent it over, whatever you said yesterday.
I think Tom Brady is a better quarterback than he was in 04. How's that?
I think that's marginal. I think that's marginal to say.
I think he is.
That was a good football team, Fred.
Yeah. And I think this would have been as well. They're 12-4 without
Fred,
those guys.
This is a good football team.
Yeah.
Just
without
not
the
that
without
good.
Their without so many starters.
I know, they didn't
that's
lose,
what you guys are
They
are,
didn't
are,
lose anybody in 2004, you, Andy. Ty Law played all season.
You guys just
They didn't lose anyone.
To give them the respect that they should get.
No, I'm just not going to blow the current
did.
Team and make
Troy
more
Brown
of it than
having it is. Troy Brown having to play cornerback 4 yeah. weeks in a row. That was nothing.
For doing what they did with all those losses.
No, you, I you give them plenty of credit, but I don't have to give them more than they deserve, which is what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I'm not asking you what their record was. I'm asking you what their talent was. What did you think was better? That's all I'm asking you.
On
and
offense,
I
think
and
this
I said
year
I can't argue with
better.
You. I'm not going to argue with you and try to change your opinion.
On
it's
offense,
your opinion.
On offense, I think the Patriots would have been better. I think defense
with Gronk.
Defense is not even an argument.
With defense, I mean, Gronk is the only
with
issue.
Defense, I think 0-4 was better, but I think this defense would have been good enough.
Wait, are you including Hernandez?
No.
Okay.
No.
These
not,
are season
yeah,
injuries.
I'm
these
not,
are IR.
Yeah, I'm not including okay. Hernandez. Yeah, he's
I can't necessarily go there, Fred.
Okay.
Fred, are we going to go live to the podium here for the Revs pick? Is that what we're doing?
That was good, Kevin.
Good tension.
That was good.
Tension.
Very good.
Right there.
You can do break-ins.
Freddie, the one point I wanted to make about 2006, too, is do you remember that whole week there was a sort of a bug that went through the locker room here?
Yeah.
And Patriots started out strong in that game. And then in the second half, I think a lot of us thought, oh, maybe they wore down on defense because of the fatigue.
The right.
Well, the fatigue factor
right.
for their being sick.
Turned up the heat. Weren't there even people saying, like, they spiked the Gatorade or something?
Piped in noise. Don't forget the noise.
That's vaguely familiar.
Don't forget the noise.
I remember something. Now, I don't know how serious I'm remembering this. But
I think it was good that if Brady was sent home yesterday or if he didn't even show up at all yesterday, try to contain that contagion from spreading as much as possible. You know, if you're in your most contagious state, stay the heck away from
here.
Get
away. Right, right.
And same thing with Aiken.
Take the long snapper with you.
Right. But, I mean, maybe they learned from 06 that, you know, if they brought a guy here when he was sick on trying to get him up to speed on the game, it wasn't the right thing to do.
No, I could see him walking in and the trainer saying, get the hell out of here. You know, you're going to get everyone sick. Go. Yeah. You know? That's a tough decision to make. Because it's not a guarantee you're going to get everyone sick.
Well, no, but Belichick
decision. It's a guarantee that Brady is not going to be as prepared as he could be with a Wednesday practice under his belt.
But if
that's a tough decision.
But if he's sick, how prepared can he get on the field?
But that's where it's a feel. I mean, how sick is he? What is his state?
He must have been pretty sick. You know, he must have been pretty sick. It must have been more than the sniffles.
Which means he's not fine today.
No, he's probably.
It's very unlikely that you go from really sick sent home.
Was it Monday or Tuesday? I had to go home early Monday. I mean, I was
Monday, right.
I was feeling terrible, and then the next day I felt fine. So,
was it just illness, or
it was
like
you know how you get that feeling? It started out in the morning where your nose is and it starts sneezing, and then I was losing it.
But you didn't have any stomach or any of that.
No, I just felt like I was really coming down. I was just exhausted. You know, and then I went home, went to bed, and the next morning I felt fine.
You know what I was thinking would have been really interesting if yesterday, just to tweak everybody, they had signed a quarterback. just somebody. I don't even know who.
I was actually thinking we'd go out there today. Mallett wasn't going to be there.
And Brady played one of his best ever playoff games, by the way, when he was supposedly very, very sick.
Yeah, but who was that against?
Pittsburgh.
Oh, I thought it was against Jacksonville.
No, Pittsburgh. The AFC Championship game on the road in 2004. And they put 41 on the board that.
Well, I thought he was sick against Jacksonville before they went and lost in Denver.
You didn't hear me.
I don't remember that illness.
I think you might laugh at this. I said that offense they couldn't score. Put 41 on the board when Brady had 103 temperature. When he wasn't as good as he is now.
Doug is from New Hampshire. He says, is anyone dealing with the thought that we would be hosting this game if not for the never called before or since field goal penalty that clinched the game for the Jets this year? I can't help but have nothing but disdain for Roger Goodell and his part-time officials. They say they never want to make a call late in the game that costs the team a win. Well, how about a home field advantage through the playoffs?
Do they say that?
Or do we say that? They don't say that.
We say that. Every time we ask those officials up there anything, they say, well, we try to look at it and call it the right way.
I am right in this. That is the only time it was called, right?
Yes.
That is the only time it was called all year.
Before or since?
Well, it was only 1 year that it had a chance to be called.
Before or since.
But only one season.
Are you going to use him as your reliable source?
No, less reliable than Wikipedia. Right about that, right? You guys,
I don't know.
To your knowledge?
I don't know.
Okay, because I thought that was the only time it was called, too, just to back up the emailer's point.
But on Felger's show, there was someone who came with a stat that was pretty interesting, you know, because we all have that common thought that once the playoffs come, the refs don't call as many penalties. You know, they just don't want to do it the same way in the playoffs. But the stats are actually that – if you look at the teams that make the playoffs, they're the least penalized teams throughout the season. And if you go based on those numbers,
they're right on average.
They're about average. And when you talk about after snap penalties, they're actually up. The defensive holdings, pass interference, those types of things, illegal contact, those are actually more this year than they were during the regular season. So
that doesn't surprise me because everybody does that. They gloss over it.
Yeah.
But they forget the fact that in all likelihood, the 1-15 team had a lot of penalties and they're not in anymore.
Right.
And then the other thing is the Belichick thing. You know, you have these crews like the Houston game when they didn't have a penalty and he basically said, because they don't call penalties.
I don't know about better
or not better, but if the crews that don't call the penalties are in the postseason, there's less games that changes the averages and the numbers.
It's not that they don't call them. It's that they're more accurate when they do.
I'm talking about Belichick saying that crew in Houston doesn't call penalties. We knew they wouldn't call penalties.
But what I'm also saying is if you have better crews in the postseason and you have good teams that don't, you know, cause a lot of penalties, you're going to have less call because they're going to make less mistakes.
Well, the other part of it, too, is the first weekend seemed to be different than the second weekend. There were a lot more penalties in the second weekend. I don't think the games were as well officiated in the second weekend as they were in the first weekend.
How do you know they weren't as well in the first weekend?
Because
I hate the officials.
No, it's to my preference to let a little hand fighting and whatnot go on passing plays and the holds. I thought they were a little ticky-tack again this week with some of that stuff in some of the other games. I thought specifically the Carolina-San Francisco game was horrendously officiated. I thought they lost control of it from the first play of the game, and they never got control. I thought, you know, the headbutt that they called on the Carolina guy, but they didn't call one on Bolden. It's just stuff like that. I didn't think it was
well that particular game was a tough game to officiate.
Yeah, I think it's easy. Yeah. I think you start throwing personal fouls in the first quarter and you end it.
Well, see, that's
and they dropped the ball.
I was about to say, a game like that, you have to get control early.
Yeah, you you got to go up to those guys and you say, even if you call in the coaches,
give them
and
a
say,
warning.
Listen, enough.
This is it.
I'm going to start tossing guys if this continues.
I agree. And they didn't
or
do
coaches.
That.
You.
Right, you.
You hothead.
Yeah.
You with the pleated khakis that your wife makes fun of.
Yeah, it's the pleats.
It's the pleats.
All right. Ace Ticket Hotline starting to heat up here. Dean is in Swampscott. Hey, Dean.
Hey, gentlemen.
What's up? Good.
How are you?
Good.
First of all, I want to thank you for this podcast. It's a lifesaver. I'm a longtime Pats fan and usually listen to you guys on the commute, and I can't take Felger and his parrot, and you guys are such a nice alternative.
Felger and his parrot.
Yes. It's Tony. You're absolutely right, Mike.
98.5, check. But I wanted to make a comment. I couldn't call yesterday, but one of your callers on the Tuesday show had made, I think it was a caller, an emailer, had made a statement of, you know, would you rather lose the AFC Championship game versus if you knew you were going to win it but lose in the Super Bowl? And, you know, one thing from listening to the podcast, it seems, and I don't know for sure, but it seems like a lot of your listeners, at least from the callers and the emailers, are from outside the New England area. And I'm of Paul's vintage. I'm in my mid-40s, grew up in Arlington. The earliest memories of the Patriots were my father screaming at the TV and like, what's a sugar bear and why is roughing the passer so bad? And
do you also root for college you didn't go to?
The 20 years of
if you put on about 30 pounds in the last 5 years.
Team. And I am so appreciative of what we have right now. And I would absolutely want to see this team win and advance to the Super Bowl because, like you guys have mentioned, who knows when we're going to see this again?
Right.
I don't know why
even
you would ever argue
gonna
to not go. Now I can see
why
Paul would
lose,
argue.
That
to
was
not
his
go.
Argument.
No,
if I knew they were going to lose.
Oh, I mean,
I'm
for you
Dean.
Personally, you don't want to go to the Super Bowl.
Oh, no, no. No, but I'm
why would you ever say I'd rather just not go to the championship game for my sport?
Right.
Yes, absolutely. That's it. Yes, Andy. No, I'm with Dean.
I
absolutely want to go.
But I do think, you know, especially if a lot of these fans became fans after 2001, you become spoiled. An AFC Championship game, who cares about that? All I care about is Super Bowls. This team's all about Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And I think it is interesting, depending on the perspective you have and how long you've been a fan, you actually appreciate it.
I mean, even look at 85. You know, the Patriots had never been to a Super Bowl before then. And you know going in, it was unlikely that they got there. They got there, and you're going against the Bears.
Squish the fish.
You know, and look, everybody wanted them to win the Patriots, and we all thought they might, and, you know, but we knew in the back of our mind this is going to be tough.
But I was still
wait a minute.
And you
I was young.
Rather
I was buying
go.
In.
I,
no,
I
was
I
buying
didn't,
in too.
And I thought they were going to win.
I did too.
I convinced myself. But I still would rather go and lose 46-10 and have beaten Miami in the AFC Championship game.
That's my point.
I'm with Dean 100%.
Yeah.
I never understood that. I don't want to go because if they lose, I can't handle that.
Right.
Who are you? I can't handle.
Right.
I mean. Grow up.
Right.
You're a fan. You want them to win. If they get to the championship and they lose, it's tough. Yeah. But you get on. You know, if you're Kevin, you sit on the ground outside of Lucas Oil Stadium next to a trash barrel.
Except for 07.
And then people walk by and they throw tin cup in throw change in your
one.
Tin cup.
Still, so you would have rather lost the AFC title game?
No, but I'm saying it's tough to get over.
Team ever.
Yeah. Right, but you still wouldn't have rather lost
I'd
before
still would have rather.
You want to go to the championship with the opportunity to stamp yourself.
Always.
Well, this ties into, Dean, you brought up Felger. Like, this ties into Felger's whole argument. Belichick is becoming Don Shula. He hasn't won.
Oh,
so
the company
long.
Money.
Yeah. Well, that's a bad thing to become Don Shula, to have the most wins in history, and to have an undefeated. Like, I don't get that. That whole idea that if he goes 3-3 in Super Bowls, well, now he's just a 500 Super Bowl coach.
So stupid.
How about that? He's in 6 Super Bowls, you moron.
What? So stupid. It's so diminished.
I never played pro sports, or coached it, so I can't say what I know what
you
it's like.
At Emerson?
But I do know. just for it's hard to win
yes.
all the time.
That's what
like
I was trying
do.
To tell
it's
the two
really
knuckleheads
hard.
That Dean is making fun of yesterday. Yeah. They had the whole thing. If you went into the 9-year period that they've had, and you know that they've won more games than anybody else in football, they've been to more, you know, all the different accomplishments, would you be A, satisfied with that, B, disappointed that you didn't win a title, or C, ripping them for vast right. underachievement? I said, well, I would be
A and B?
I would be between A and B. I would be disappointed that I didn't win a title, but I wouldn't be anywhere near the underachievement.
Right.
Level because it's hard to win it all.
It's really hard.
And they are in a position where they have a chance to win it all virtually every year, and that's all. That's what right. you build your team so you're in the fight,
right.
and they're always in
which
the fight.
Which is what I've always
and
argued,
every
dating
year,
back to the impossible argument.
Yeah, well, he's talking about his
no, but we're getting what I want.
The immortality.
We are getting what I want. When I said yeah. I would give up that Super Bowl to have a decade of
right.
every year AFC title, Super Bowl. You know,
see,
I'm
I still
going.
Wouldn't. But
I would.
But that's different.
This
your immortality argument is different.
But, this is great
and,
every
and the
single
thing
year.
The thing is, every year there's stuff that happens that you have no control over, you know, which makes it even harder to do it. You know, it's like if the Patriots did what the Felgers think they should have done, I mean, our heads would explode. They'd, you know, you wouldn't even be able to put a word on the type of team that they are, having right. won 6 Super Bowls or whatever it was. Dynasty would have to be redefined. It's
Patriotsy.
It's virtually impossible to do what they think that the Patriots should have done. I don't understand it.
We're trying to bring logic to
all
the
right,
logical.
Dean,
I'm with Dean,
thanks
though.
Thanks for the call.
And, you get there. You get there, and then if you lose, yeah, it's tough. I mean, you invest a lot emotionally when you're a fan of a team, and you know, my famous story about wanting to fight the guys from Green Bay coming out of the stuff. I mean, you do. I'm not trying to say, like, grow up like I've always been, you know.
This
been
mature?
Able, no, been able to put losses
behind. This is mature.
What I was going to say was I've always been able to put losses behind
used
me.
Used to be the John McEnroe of losing.
There's nothing used to be about it, as you guys know. You know, I'm not trying to make it out to be that I am this well-balanced, you know, easily put, you know, my emotions behind. No, I wear my emotions on the sleeve, and you guys know that. But I still want to be there. I want to have a chance
sure.
to win the title.
I want to be
and I don't
in
want,
the game.
Like, the loss in the AFC Championship game doesn't feel any better to like, me
you know,
than the loss in the Super
like,
Bowl.
And this is how immature I am. Like, you know, I'm on Twitter, and I follow other writers, obviously, and, you know, you have Urine Stream still tweeting about, you know, moves that the Jets are making. And I kind of snickers, like, isn't that adorable that they're actually still trying to do things, you know? But, you know,
you're such
but,
a bad
but
person.
We're in the game. We're still in it. And to me, that's all I want. I want to be in it. You know, I want to be part
well,
of the
like,
show.
That's like, you know, Mel Kiper Jr. had a mock draft that he put out this week. A couple days ago, I think he has the kid Amaro from Texas Tech, a tight end, for the Patriots. And, you know, I wrote a little thing for First Down for it. And it's like, you know, even though everybody else is gearing up for the Super Bowl,
right.
there's a lot of other teams that are already onto the process.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Christian?
Guys, I could talk about this all day as far as the, you know, the legacy and where guys fit. But to me, you know, when we won so early and so often, we got spoiled and thought it should be like this every year. You go to 3, you win 3, Brady wins his first 10 playoff games, and you're thinking, huh, this is what we do. This is, we get there and we win. And, you know, then reality set in, you know, and here we are.
Right.
I got no complaints.
Who could have any complaints?
I mean, you can't.
Okay, other than Felger, who's drumming up talk radio, who could have any complaints?
Job. Well, I think it's not like it's for some people, it's not really a complaint. It's more of, see, they're not that good.
Well,
see, Belichick isn't that good.
Well, but it's some people, the lost opportunity. I can see, because what you said is right. Had they done what Felger thinks, you know, won a couple Super Bowls, it would have been re-goddamn-diculous. And I think people want that, just like they wanted the 19-0 season, that thing that can never be taken
sure
away.
You want it.
But to allow that to cloud your appreciation of what you do have
right.
is problematic.
Right. I mean, yeah. I want jetpacks, but, you know, it's like, how does it feel to want?
By the way, Schefter has just said that, you know, he still doesn't know how many years, but he does say he had the 1 year. And it's agreed for multi-years, so it's at least the next 3 years, maybe more.
Wow, so that's surprising to me.
That's what I said.
They've given up.
That's word for word what Andy said.
You didn't learn anything that I didn't say.
Yeah.
We knew that
he
it was
one. So it multi-years says at least two.
And they're not
which
dumb
is what I said. It has to be
them,
at least two.
There's no way it's more than that.
But they had already talked about giving him an extra year. So.
Right. And, well, that, and that's what he
because
said.
Because of in sports, you don't bring a coach into a season with a single year left on his contract.
Right.
You just don't do it.
Yes.
He doesn't get anything from the players because they know he's a lame duck.
Right.
So you have to do that, and by deeming it a multi-year extension, we knew it was two. They're not going to give him more than that because he is still fighting for his job, and you'd be a moron to give him more than that because then you're just going to be paying him on the back end.
But they just did.
I'm going to swear, so I'm not going to say
Well, I like having him in the division. I'm glad he's back. I think he's good fun.
He is good fun.
And he really is.
He's good fun, and he's a pretty good coach.
No, the Patriots petition worked.
And if Geno Smith can play, you might have problems.
Yeah, if they don't get any guys to play on offense, it won't be a big deal. But if they do, he can coach.
Yep, he can definitely coach this year. Just look at that example. I just wanted to get on to Paul when Paul always says, you know, hey, everybody hates us and nobody picks us.
They do.
So I'm watching Inside the NFL last night, and Collinsworth and Joe Montana picked the Patriots to win Sunday. So for all those people out there that say no one picked us.
Collinsworth and who?
Joe Montana.
Joe Montana.
Might have heard of him.
I don't count Joe Montana.
On Inside the NFL. And Collinsworth's reasoning was.
Does he even watch games?
Montana's a little sketchy.
Wait, so we respect John Gruden, who'll say, I think the Colts are going to win. They got something special going on.
No.
But we don't respect Joe Montana?
No. I totally disrespected John Gruden's reasoning for the Colts game, but he watches games. I don't think Joe Montana
doesn't
watches
use
games.
Use the information. He might.
Well,
you don't think don't Joe think Montana? He Joe Montana doesn't watch games.
I think he is.
80 million Americans are watching football, but Joe Montana doesn't.
I think he's very marginally connected to the league. I think at this time of year, every year, he's got his promotions that he goes out.
I don't think
out
he watches with an analytical eye.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Thank you, Fred.
Nor does
Eric.
Yeah,
he doesn't. He doesn't because he said the Patriots. When it came to him, he said Collinsworth said the Patriots are a better team, and then Montana said, I've played in a lot of these games, and they have it, and the Patriots just seem to have it.
Oh, see?
Okay.
He's so going with the Gruden thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, very rational.
That was the rational.
Now I got Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, coaches.
We're going to win. We're going to the Super Bowl. We're going to beat Penis Head, and we're going right to the Meadowlands.
Got it.
And we're going to take a dump in Jersey, and we're going to beat Seattle.
You got it. All right.
Woo!
Thanks, Christian.
They have it.
Machete.
What does machete mean?
He had a code word for the draft. He wanted them to draft Marshall Faulk, and so we had the code word was machete.
I don't get that. But I do give him credit for identifying Marshall Faulk.
So I feel like there's a little Andy in Eddie Andelman. he was like us, stupid whack job, but on a real show.
But he was, you know what?
But you
when
know what
he was good, he was good.
So are we.
Instead of having goal judges in hockey, he used to say, fill the net with pudding. And that way, if the puck had pudding on it, you knew it went in.
He also said that.
That's an Andyism.
He said that when you have these like tense, you know, negotiations between countries, they should serve ice cream. He said, because you can't be mad when you're eating ice cream. It's impossible. And he's right.
He'd had a whole show once on whether or not you liked popsicles or fudgicles better.
But
it's a good question.
Because
neither are all that good.
It depends on the flavor
they're
of
all
the popsicle.
Popsicles are excellent.
A cherry
fudgicle's
popsicle
not very
is
good.
Really good.
Fudgicle's
fudgicle
not very good.
You don't like fudgicle? Oh,
nah,
love
too
fudgicle
much chocolate.
Yeah, I think they're both limited. Compared to like ice cream, give me the ice cream or give me the ice cream treat every time.
Oh, that's right. Andy doesn't like any
doesn't
chocolate,
like chocolate
that's like, you know.
But I it's too chocolate much chocolate.
Although
for me.
Pudding pops, those old, those aren't bad. The Bill Cosby pudding pops.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Tobucky Jones's kids. Remember he used to call his kids pudding pops?
That's not a bad question, though, the popsicle.
Popsicles are fudgicles.
Let's go to Ricky in Mobile, Alabama. Hey, Ricky.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What's up?
I want to say this is the greatest show on earth. I want to be real.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brad, as long as we're being real.
I'm always with you. I'm about to let you talk noise for us by yourself. Every time I go hard, we don't win the Super Bowl. So I'm going to be quiet for the next 2 weeks. So we go ahead and go.
Okay.
I just want to say a couple things. I hate it how everybody, every year when Peyton step on the field, they always say this is his year. I just hate that so much.
For Peyton Manning. Like, yeah.
But who says that?
I mean, it's like, why stay? It's like everybody just saying, oh, Peyton Manning's going to win. This is his year. I mean,
Right.
But we've been in league for 16 years.
Poor Christian.
The thing is, Ricky.
See, I told you, Christian, they all hate us.
Everybody gets in the trap. You're right. Everyone gets trapped because he has such great regular seasons where they just blow through their schedule. Everyone, all right, this is it. And then they hit the playoffs and the better teams and they fall. You're right.
It doesn't give them money because while I work it, I'm the only Patriots fan. Everybody just jumped on the Broncos bandwagon. It just irked my nuts so bad. And I can't really argue. I'll be by myself. Everybody just jumping on me by time.
You know what? On Monday, you'll be standing by yourself as the only one who had won. So don't worry about it.
You can play that song.
Hang tough, Ricky.
Stand alone.
And I really feel like this is all year because everybody is looking over Tom Brady. Which to me, I feel like he is a better quarterback because you put Peyton Manning on our team, the team we have now, I don't think they probably would have made it to the playoffs.
Probably not. Probably not with the lack of weapons that Brady had.
That's over the top absurd.
I don't think Manning would have been
even
able
for
to
you,
adjust.
Fred.
He might have just completed 50% of his passes to Julian
Edelman.
Oh, wait,
you.
That's what Brady does.
Yep.
Then I kind of like what you said the other day, talking about how they overcame adversity. We lost 2 million stars, and we had one of our players is facing murder, going to life in prison. I don't think ain't nobody in the NFL right now going through what we went through.
Well, and, their coach did almost die.
And forget about just losing the
player. That doesn't
It's dealing with the situation that the Patriots had to overcome.
Right, like
as
when your coach almost dies.
You know?
Right?
Yeah,
like when your coach almost dies in the middle of the season?
No.
I mean, that was bad. It was bad. But Peyton Manning, this year they didn't have no type of adversity that we had.
No.
Of course not.
No, absolutely not.
Of course not. These guys want to diminish what the Patriots
were
doing.
No, I don't.
They're all pros, all stink.
You know what diminishes what the Patriots do? When you try to pump it up the unbelief. When you make it so ridiculous that people have to go
the other way. Fred, can I ask you, before you move on, can I ask you a serious question?
What?
Do you really think the Patriots wouldn't have made the playoffs if Peyton Manning was the quarterback? Stop. I got the answer. You can move on.
Well, I mean, you say, Paul, that he poops himself.
Not in the regular season.
But what if he didn't have any weapons?
So you just described 2008 to 2010 inclusive for the Colts when they were all gone.
What do you mean they were all gone?
They stunk. The Colts weren't very good. He continued to win 12 games with them. Yeah. And then they lost them and they went 2-14. Same players. Reggie Wayne was there. They went 2-14.
Yeah.
With him, they went 12-4.
But he still had Reggie Wayne.
And they had Julian Edelman this year, who had 100 and how many catches?
So you would rather have Julian Edelman over Reggie Wayne?
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't rather have Julian Edelman over, but they didn't have any weapons after everybody was gone.
I just have to think, you know, that's all.
You have to think whether or not that the Patriots would have made the playoffs with Peyton Manning as the quarterback.
Yeah.
So you think that they have even less talent than I think
they
have.
With the same injuries.
Right?
With the same injuries.
Yeah, with the same injuries. You think they're even worse than I think they are.
On offense, they
have. He doesn't know what he thinks.
Am I wrong on that?
Because in one breath, he thinks they're the best team ever to play for the Patriots. And the other sentence, it's just Brady.
Yeah, I don't
so
know.
It's not just, but no,
I don't know.
He tells me it's not just Brady.
I don't know.
But he's telling you it's just Brady.
But now
Brady
he says,
down,
now
you
say if you have the second best quarterback in football, you wouldn't make the playoffs. So you're telling me they're even less talented than I think
you
they
You want
are.
To give us a lot of other quarterbacks, I think they would have been able to adjust. I'm just not
So the
sure.
second best quarterback wouldn't have been able to do it, but the, but the fifth or sixth best might have been able to.
Probably because of the adaptability.
Okay. And I'm glad, by the way, as you said earlier in the week, I don't hate Peyton Manning. He's a great quarterback. Why would you say that he chokes? Remember when I said that he was going to choke and Fred yelled at me and said, why would you say that?
I don't know why.
I'm glad that you think so much of a guy that he wouldn't be able to take the best team in talent in the NFL. He wouldn't be able to take that team to the playoffs.
The Patriots are not the best team in talent in the offense by not even close.
That's what you argued to me.
Not even close.
You said that they were better than the 2014 when healthy.
But that's not the argument, Paul. It's
so they lose four or five players and they wouldn't even have made the playoffs.
Would he have been
with the second best quarterback in football?
Would he have been able to adapt with the loss of personnel on offense?
Yeah. He's the second best quarterback in football.
That's the question.
Yeah, he would have been able to adapt.
He adapted from one team to the next.
That's the question.
He made it. By the way, the guy that you have down here that is not good enough to get on the field, Austin Colley, was his best wide receiver in 2009.
And right now, you can't say that the Patriots are a very talented team on offense. Are you saying they are?
I don't think they're very talented. Okay. No.
Wait, how do you?
No,
so you're basically
I don't think they're
Gronk.
Very talented.
Because Gronk's the only guy missing from the offense.
It doesn't matter about missing. It's the personnel that they have.
But you're telling me they're as good as
04. Receivers?
And the, but it doesn't. When you compare it to 04, you're comparing
That's why
what
I
you
thought
have.
The 2014 was better. I'm sorry. That's
you
what I
have
thought.
It both ways. It's only Gronk on offense. Defensively, there are multiple considerations. On offense, it's Gronk.
But you put Gronk on this offense, and all of a sudden, Shane Vereen's open. Like
right.
you've said,
like
many,
we
many
saw
times.
In the middle of
it
the season.
It changes the offense.
Okay, but it's
right.
one guy you're talking
That's
about.
That's
one,
one
guy.
It changes the whole offense.
Right.
I know. But it's still just one guy.
You're making my point.
Right, you really are. And by the way, you shouldn't be calling him the second-best quarterback in football. I'm sorry. This year, Peyton Manning was the best quarterback
in
football.
He's not saying I'm calling him
and
that.
Nobody should. This year, he
I'm
was the best quarterback
Peyton Manning
in football.
I'm calling Peyton Manning the second-best quarterback in football.
And by the way, he's done something Brady never has. He went to a new team, started over, and was just as good. The only thing he effed up, in my opinion, is he should have gone to Denver early in his career and then gone to a dome late in his career, because then he really would have been a dome quarterback, and he would have been fine. Don't you agree? He has issues now with the weather. He made a bad decision. He went from the dome to the Rockies. He should have gone Rockies to domes.
I think the wind can be a problem anywhere
well,
you go
good.
Outdoors.
Tom looks healthy. What a softy.
He has color.
He looks fine.
He has color in his skin there, don't you think? I'm being serious.
Yeah, but you don't know what on. Is it. I mean, he could have been like a stomach
he probably
flu
has
or
makeup.
Like
that. He doesn't have any makeup on.
Yeah. Well, his wife, who doesn't own a hairbrush.
Let's go to the most hated Patriots caller in the world, Joel in Atlanta. Hey, Joel.
Hey, Fred. What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm going to agree with Fred, Paul, and Andy about if Peyton Manning did play for the Patriots, we wouldn't make the playoffs.
Good call, Joel.
Okay. All right.
And the reason why is because, I mean, Fred is right. Personnel. You got to think about... the Patriots personnel compared to the Denver Broncos personnel. You guys know that the wide receivers that the Broncos have are much better than the wide receivers the Patriots have.
It's just that
as far as with play calls, that the Patriots are used to dumping it all 5-6 yards. That's not Peyton Manning's game. As you see, the reason why Wes Welker doesn't have 100 receiving.
These are your people, Fred.
These are your people, Fred. This is your alliance.
I'm just saying. Fred, yeah.
That's all Peyton Manning does is dump the ball off 5 and 6 yards downfield.
That's all
Peyton correct. Manning does. He throws constant screens and crossing routes, shallow crossing routes.
He has a limp noodle.
He can't throw the ball downfield anymore, and he has a hard time even throwing the ball outside the numbers consistently.
He has great run after catch guys.
Come on.
All right,
the Patriots offense is perfectly suited for Peyton Manning
support,
right now.
Joel. Let's go to Noel, not Joel, Noel in Denver. Hey, Noel.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Before I let you start, Noel, give me a weather update.
Well, it's beautiful. It's about 45 today, but it's going to be 60 on Wednesday and a very calm
Sunday,
supposedly.
Yep.
And I think that's good for us as well. You guys, who's coming?
Wait, who's us?
Patriots, of course. Come on.
Really?
No, it's
I
not
think
good
it's
for
terrible.
The Patriots.
I think you should want wind and cold.
Based on what I've seen from LeGarrette Blount in the torrential rain, he couldn't rain enough. Could not rain enough.
Well, I'm from the Worcester area, so I'm a Pat fan since 1960, and I'm enjoying every single game, and it's wonderful. And I agree with Fred when it comes to Peyton. I really do.
Wait, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Which opinion of Peyton Manning of Fred's do you agree with? The one earlier in the week where he said he was great, or the one today where he said he stunk?
Let's face it, he's great. There's no question about that. I just don't think he could have done what the Patriots did this year with Tom Brady at quarterback.
I think that's
so
ludicrous.
Biased. I'm such a homer. I'm probably the wrong guy to talk to. But I'd like to know who's coming to Denver. Fred, are you coming?
I'm coming.
Okay, you going to be at that party Saturday night?
You betcha.
All right, good. I'd love to introduce myself to you.
Okay,
who are you, Sarah Palin? You betcha.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not on the radio or anything because I'm on my car, but I'm going to ask a question and I'll listen later on.
You should get in your car.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I think that the Patriots offense is going to do extremely well in this game, and I'd just like to ask your opinion. Do you guys think that we can hold the Broncos to under 30 points?
It's a possibility. Yeah.
Under 30? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, and I really believe that if we hold them under 30, we should win this game by 8 to 10 points.
Well, that sounds good to me. All right, thanks, Noel. Let's go one more call, and then we're going to take a break. Jeff in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
What's up, Hefe?
We go from the most hated Patriots caller to the most annoying Patriots. I'm only kidding, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, I got to give it. I think that guy Joel, I think at least he is a sincere New England fan. Like, he's not like a bandwagon guy. I give him that at least.
Right. He's also out of his mind.
Yeah, that's definitely. Well, I mean, I think a lot of us are, actually.
I agree. Paul has been saying that for years.
There's a fine line, as we know. couple things. This point spread movement is kind of interesting. Open, New England plus 6.5, sort of shot down to 4.5 very quickly. Now it's back up to 6.
Wow. Really?
So the Denver money came in.
It did, and I thought...
Now, was that Brady-related?
Yeah, but now this morning, it went up to, like, Brady-related yesterday, like 5.5. Now it's touching 6, like MGM and some other places. So
I bet it's weather-related. I bet it's people like me that see we're getting closer and closer, and the forecast is staying for good weather. People say Manning can score. Manning can win this. It's not... I bet you that's weather-related. They're getting more trustworthy in the forecast.
Yeah, that could be it. And I was thinking or hoping in a way, maybe that good weather, you know, even puts a little more pressure on Peyton. Like, he doesn't have any excuse.
See, I take it the other way. I think he's going to come out of his house that morning and say, oh, my God, it's like being in the dome again. I am going to kick ass, take names. I don't have to worry about anything. I think it's a confidence builder for him when he leaves his house that morning.
Is the key to this game the first quarter? I mean, if the Patriots get in front, Is that enough to rattle Manning?
I think it's important. I don't know if it's over, just because these games aren't over. It's not the league we live in anymore. But I do think you can put some pressure on him on the scoreboard by scoring first and getting off to a good start. Conversely, I think he can, you know, get some confidence, get something going.
Sure.
I was going to make the joke, you know, that Andy and I always say that Bill says, you know, I don't think the Patriots can win this game in the first quarter, but they could lose it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I almost wouldn't mind, like, a more back-and-forth game. I wouldn't love getting up early and then having him find his rhythm in the second half and just, you know, sort of being an unstoppable force.
Well, I mean, we've seen that from both of these guys. The hot guy, the guy that comes back, can win it. You know, we saw it this year with Brady, and we've seen it with Manning in the past. That title game, we saw it with Manning, so... Both of these guys, you don't want them to get hot at any point in the game, early, late, because they can put up points in bunches and drives in bunches.
And do you guys think, I'm glad Dobson is back, but do you think he'll be shaky, or how much confidence do you have in Dobson?
I really don't know. I mean, I'd like to think that they use him and that he has, like we were talking this morning, at least 2 important catches, either for a first down sometime where they need it or you know, even a touchdown. If he can contribute that, that'd be great. But I'm not sure what his status is right now. You know, I really don't.
I'm not either. I'm going to give a little quick hint for the pregame social on Sunday. I think I'm backing up the truck on New England on this one. And I'm taking them on the money line as well, plus 200. I'm taking them all day long, plus 6, plus and a half. I'll lock that in. But just as a slight hedge, I think I'm going to take Denver and the over. Just a tidbit on that to hedge myself, but... I'm going all in on the Pats.
Okay.
Let's get this game.
All right. Thanks, Jeff, for the call.
I'm just going to give a little hint to my pick later, and I don't think Jeff will be buying lunch for a while.
All right. We're going to take a break. We got a lot of really good emails coming in, and then later on we'll do our picks. I think everyone knows who everyone's picking by now.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1/18/14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
You've heard of Growing Up Gronk, but now comes the tell-all book of the Perillo family.
We were going to go drink. I might not have any use the rest of the day.
From the storied authors of Northeastern Football, An Extinct Dynasty, and The Best Places to Drink Diet Pepsi in Everett, comes Growing Up Perillo.
All I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him, pounding the shit out of him.
Okay, and he just swore.
Be there through Northeastern Husky glory.
It was a very big night in Northeastern sports. I won't go into the details because I won't bore you. 1982, my father was at the Garden for the hockey championships that Northeastern won, and I'm home watching them play in the first round of the NCAA basketball, which they won. And my brother got out.
Paul, you cover the basketball. We'll take the hockey.
No, my brother went out and got arrested that night. So my mother had to do all of the stuff. She had to go down and get him, and they had to get the car from a tow lot. My mother was unbelievably incensed. So I know I got about 30 seconds to celebrate with my father when he comes home before all hell's going to break loose. So I come running out of my
little
room.
Little angel. Right.
And I'm jumping up and down, high-fiving right. my father. And I go, all right, got to go. And I ran back in the room.
Rich.
And all you heard was, it was like Joe Pesci, and just once I wanted to be big. Ow! Bing, wow.
You've disgraced the Perillo family, not to mention the whole Husky community.
Treasured father-son time.
My brother was going back and forth with my father, and it was one of those, you know, open your mouth one more time, and I'm going to let you have it. My brother was actually in the shower, and he didn't think my father could see him, and he just opened his mouth. My father laid him out through the shower curtain. One shot, right in the jaw, went down. As my brother tells the story, I'm lying nude in the jaw. Classic.
And other fond memories of the Perillo boys.
You know, my grandmother used to live with us when we, you know, when she was still alive. She used to, all of a sudden, she'd have these attacks of conscience. She'd be like the old Italian grandmother, you know, I had to be all worried. And my brother was in trouble for something. My father was all over him, and he hit him. And she got all nervous, and she calls up Aunt Camilla. You know Aunt Camilla from sure. Famous Stories. They're sisters. So she calls up. She goes, oh, Allie's beating the living out of him, but I'll tell you, he deserved it, though.
Growing up Perillo, flying off bookshelves everywhere. Order yours now by calling 855-PATS-500 or placing your order via email to webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to PFW in progress.
All right, back here at PFW in progress. Some good Patriots talk here leading into the AFC Championship, 3 o'clock Sunday in Denver. Team is going out tomorrow. And big party at Katie Mullins Irish Pub Saturday night, right in Denver downtown.
Meet Fred Kirsch. He'll be signing photos.
Yeah, it's going to be a – if the last party is any gauge, this is going to be a whopper.
Epic.
Epic.
Yeah, that was, big game. Should have a big party beforehand.
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Lots of good emails coming in. Rich in Minnesota writes, and I was sick in bed today, so I watched last week's Broncos game again. I had nothing better to do, and I learned a few interesting facts. One, the Broncos ran 13 plays out of a formation where they were only five down offensive linemen, tackle, guard, center, guard, tackle, no tight end, and only ran it one time out of that formation. Tell the Patriots not to bite on the play action when they're in that formation. Two, the Broncos are 80% likely to run the ball on first down and short yardage. The Broncos are 75% likely to run the ball on second down and short yardage. The Broncos are 73% likely to pass the ball on first down and long yardage. And
can I stop for a second?
Yeah.
First down and short yardage?
Yeah. I don't know what he means by that.
Well, he could have a five-yard penalty, right?
I guess so, but he doesn't say that.
But, I mean, enough to generate data?
Well, the flaw with his thing, and I don't mean to poo-poo his little, but it sounds like he did this off last week's game.
Yeah.
They have this from the whole season. They have this right. rope broken up into right. quads. They have this broken down eight ways until yeah. Sunday.
And the Broncos passed 100% on third down and long yardage. In the process of getting the Broncos playbook from the game onto paper, as I said, I have nothing better to do. And I thought these facts were telling and needed to be shared. Thanks a lot, guys. I really enjoy the show and have for 10 years. So,
if I were you.
Those types of tendencies are tragic.
I'd order an adult movie, and you'll have something to do for a little while.
Yeah. People may not know this. I don't know. But they have guys on the – every team has them. These kids that just – they log every game, and they create these tendencies. So they know not just – what are they doing on first and long? They know what they do on first and long inside their own 20, you know, at midfield.
Well, beyond that, I mean,
you know,
they
when
know.
When it's 30 degrees out.
Trips right when right. Welker is the middleman, trips right when Welker is the outside man, trips right, right when Welker is the inside man, trips right, you know.
Right.
Ball down on left everything. Hash, ball everything. On right hash, yep. You know, every yep. possible
and
scenario.
If you think of it, they know it.
Yep. Dan in England, just a couple points. Firstly, thanks for such a great show. My week wouldn't be the same without PFW in progress. Secondly, I want to give some love to Marcus Cannon because I haven't heard his name in about 2 months, which is a great sign. And finally, with hindsight, how big was our Week 15 loss to Miami? Does it cost us big this weekend?
Yes. Well, maybe not just that one, but I would feel a lot differently about this game.
If this game was home, I would too.
You know, which Chris Gasper wrote and then tweeted out today, and I was thinking, Captain Obvious.
Also, shout out to the UK fans and British Universities American Football League and Suck It Joel in Atlanta.
British Universities American Football League.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, is that a contact league or is that just flag?
I would imagine it's contact.
Huh. Do you know they're talking about 2020 or 2024 or something, football being in the Olympics? Can you imagine the absolute ass-whooping we will put on other countries?
I just don't understand how that can work.
Absolute ass-whooping.
Right.
The Olympics
you
want to
talk about
weeks,
Americans being ugly and us just, make Belichick the coach, right. Running up the score on every. Imagine that, though, if he were the Olympic coach. That'd be kind of cool.
You know, they should, in all fairness, if you want to get football in the Olympics, they should do it, but not let Americans play. And let the rest of the world have
that's
competition.
Not fun,
it'd be better for the sport.
No, competition is better for the sport. You want to get good,
but
you beat good.
Let them compete, and then
what they should do is start them like now.
Yeah.
And then we'll join in 2024 or something.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Give them a head a little bit. Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay for that.
Yeah.
I don't mind Fred's idea. I just don't know how football works in the Olympic setting.
Yeah. You can only have one game a week.
Well, you'd have to, it'd have to be like, there'd be some sort of tournament.
It'd be like the World Cup.
Yeah. And then you'd have just a few teams in the actual Olympics.
Yeah. It'd have to be like the World Cup.
And that basically it would be, have to be everybody fights to face us for a while anyway.
Right.
You know, we may lose that eventually down the road, but you'd be fighting, but can you imagine if Belichick were the coach, though? Like all those translators, and they all at the same time go, the international sound for cleaning your throat.
Alex in Philly, now that the real Fred Kirsch is back, the rest of us can be negative. I haven't been listening to all of the talking heads about the game because I'm really growing tired of all the Manning, Brady, Brady, Manning legacy talk. From what you are hearing, what is the consensus of people outside of Patriots Nation about the game? Also, as
Manning,
impressed
Brady,
I,
Brady, Manning.
As How can you be sick of that?
As impressed I am with the running game, I'm even more impressed with the fact that we are running when the other team knows we're running. Question,
I agree.
What's wrong with Vereen? Why hasn't he shown up yet? Lastly, my prediction, Pats will win 37-31 with Welker dropping a key pass to end a late comeback attempt by Peyton.
I hope not. That I don't
could,
want that.
That could happen.
I don't want that.
That
That's
could happen.
Not fun.
They had a poll on NFL.com today, and when I looked this morning, 100,000 people about had voted, and Manning held a slight edge about who's the better quarterback over
okay.
Brady.
That's how it should be.
Yeah, really? But you don't get
no. I think nationally right now.
That's what I mean. Nationally,
coming off of this season in which he broke every record.
Oh,
I
thought
think
it
he
meant,
should have a slight lead right
oh,
now.
Oh, I thought you meant who was the better quarterback.
No,
period.
No, no, no. But I think right now, and that is a right now type thing, a reactionary.
Yeah, this year it'd be hard to argue that Brady had a better year than Manning.
And if you take that poll on February 5th after Brady wins the Super Bowl, the poll will go the other way.
And he is 10-11, by the way. Remember we were talking about that yesterday with the record. I get a little tired of it, though. Just the whole referendum, kind of talking about what we discussed early in the show about how, you know, one game. Like, I think there's too much emphasis placed on the actual result. And I'm not talking about, listen, for the teams, obviously all that matters is winning and losing. I get that. But for the referendum on the guys' careers, one game. You know, so right now Brady has a distinct edge because his playoff resume is so much greater than Manning's, right? So all of a sudden, if he loses this game and it becomes 2-2 in the playoffs, and let's say Manning ends up going to the Super Bowl and winning, and he's 2-1 as opposed to Brady's 3-2, okay, well, so you don't really think it's close now. So one game is going to make it close,
right?
Yeah, but
like, that's
that
the kind
game
of
is the Super
Manning
Bowl.
Has such
that's
a
the conversation,
but
that's the conversation
games.
That gets me tired. But Manning didn't always have the better team.
No, but
he has
this
the better,
year,
he has
he
the better team around him right now.
Right now,
no, but
the other games
were
always in Foxborough.
You yourself think he's a choker. You yourself think he. And if he wins against Brady, and then he goes on and
so
beats
that means he
Super
didn't
Bowl,
choke in one game.
In two games, if he wins
okay.
the Super Bowl.
But
that matters.
But I got 11 others that he did. That's why, like, I
well,
can't
then
just
you're never going to be pleased.
No,
because he's taking steps in the direction to please you, and you're just going to discount it.
I'm not discounting it, and I don't think Manning's a
it's
choker
like
to the level that.
It's not like a week two win over Brady. It's a
no.
AFC title win and then a Super Bowl win.
You're making a leap here. I think that Manning does not play as well in the playoffs as he does under normal circumstances. I am nowhere near the level of a lot of people that criticize him for that. In terms of, I think he's won. I mean, I think he's lost a lot of games that he played pretty well in, but he lost them. And
right.
I think that there's too much emphasis placed on the result of the game. Is my point? Like, who wins the game? And you just, it doesn't matter. If Manning loses and he plays great, it doesn't matter. He's a choker. That's the kind of stuff that I'm saying. I think it's overblown. And then all
Obviously.
Of a sudden, if he wins it, well, you know, we were wrong. No, you weren't wrong. If you still think that. That means he finally, according to you, he played well on a big stage.
But it comes down to, in these arguments, people always throw these things out. You know, Montana was 4-0 in the Super Bowl, 3-0, whatever the hell he was. Didn't throw
4-0.
An interception.
Right.
But Montana also is next in line with the one and dones. And, you know, all these people throw these things out there. They don't.
That's why the stats are stupid. Just look at the player. Manning's great. Brady's great. I mean,
right,
you
but
know.
you see, you make it not fun though. The fun
well, that's
in
why,
it
to me,
is saying,
I'm with Fred. To me, it's not all that fun.
Well, see, I think it's fun because there is no right answer, and that makes it fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree with that.
It's not fun if somebody's arguing with you on something that's so stupid like this team's the same as the 04 Patriots. That's just so ridiculous. There's no fun in that argument.
Yeah. I never said they were the same.
No, you said they were better.
Right.
I agree with you.
Like,
that
I like debating
it's not
who's better when it's a legitimate argument. Like, remember when people used to think Nomar and Jeter? Nomar's better. Well, that didn't really hold up over time. It was ridiculous.
No.
But for a while, you could actually make an argument for a short time.
No, I think he was better for a short time.
And that's fun.
Yeah, and somebody made a point yesterday on talk radio.
Until he didn't get
a
cycle.
You know, it's kind of silly to debate legacy before the player's done.
Yes.
Because that's
But that's what this deteriorates to.
Right.
And that's the part that I don't really like. Now, Andy, I mean, I'm not, again.
I think it's a great
Just like I said
debate.
To you. Yeah, but just like I said to Fred earlier, I can't say, look, you're wrong. Why do you think that's interesting? Like,
it's
that's
fun.
Stupid. You know, what you find interesting, I enjoy watching the two guys play against each other. I don't really enjoy the same conversation going into every game.
But it changes every time.
But
because
it's
you
same.
Have another game.
But
you
it's always
add a
the
game
same.
Every time. 15 has 14 to look back on, right? And we saw 14 was a unique game. A comeback, an overtime, you know, Manning deciding, I'm just going to hand it off. I'm not going to throw. There's aspects of every game that add to the debate.
This is an interesting email from Jeff, who probably has a psychiatry degree or something like that. He says, Andy's persistent jibes that Paul is a stealthy Brady skeptic is a psychological projection. Yesterday's PFW in Progress revealed that it's Andy who doubts the Patriot quarterback, either overtly or subliminally, while also harboring greater esteem for Peyton Manning. During Paul's absence yesterday, Andy rebuked the assertion New England is cumulatively better than Denver. In his hasty attempt to make comparisons, Andy let slip that he doesn't believe Brady is the superior quarterback. At the 129 mark, he said, they are as good or better at every offensive position. Maybe offensive line, you could swing the Patriots because they've had injuries. But quarterback, right, he then asked.
As good or better? I think we've had this as good as argument previous.
See, I'm actually going to come to Andy's defense for just a quick second
yeah.
while you before you finish. Yeah. So if someone thinks that Peyton Manning is on par with Tom Brady, that means they're subliminally a Brady hater? I don't think those two
Paul's
things are
overtly
the same.
A Brady hater.
Shut up.
Receiving no response or resistance from Fred, who must have not been fully attentive, Andy continued to erringly insist Denver was better at every offensive position and erroneously opine about Ryan Clady. Nevertheless, the Patriots are collectively the better team and coaching staff. The rickety Bronco victory against the overwhelming Chargers shows Denver has even regressed.
There was nothing rickety about that victory.
Since their loss at Foxborough. Manning knows another beatdown is coming. That's why he preemptively blunted impending criticism by declaring Belichick the greatest NFL coach of all time.
Wow. So now he says something.
It's unbelievable.
And
it's
that's
really
a negative.
Unbelievable.
I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, you guys are morons.
He's softening the
You
blow.
Guys are absolutely morons.
When he loses, I lost to the greatest NFL coach of all time.
Yeah, just like the Patriots quarterback is making, getting his excuses set for in case it doesn't go well.
He never called John Fox the greatest coach of all time.
He said, I hope they shouldn't worry.
Another belief absent from Philistines like Andy. Come Sunday's revelation, however, the world and all doubting Andy's will be redeemed and no, Brady is also the greatest. Okay. Well.
See, this is the guy that doesn't know what as good as means. As good or better.
Please let's not
better.
Get into that argument.
No, but that's what I said, as good or better. Because I was going down, everybody knows the receivers are better. The pass catchers are better.
This guy evidently doesn't think
But in the backfield, I think they're similar. You have a guy who had a lot of yards against the Patriots. You have had a guy that has a lot of yards the last couple of weeks. They have neither team has great running backs. They have productive running backs. They're running the ball well enough within the confines of their offense.
The Patriots have a productive running back who right now is running the ball great, but he did it in adverse conditions. So we don't know if he can do it again.
I think we're pretty sure, at least I'm pretty sure, LeGarrette Blount is not a great running back. He's a good running back. He can be productive.
But you're sure he's been running the ball great?
Oh, yes, yeah. Phenomenally.
Yeah.
But I think if we had LeGarrette Blount running the ball 30 times every week, like Adrian Peterson does, you would have games where he had like 15 carries for 32 yards.
I think he'd be hard-pressed to average 4 yards a carry. if he gets that many carries for the season.
And if that's being a hater or whatever, he's running great now.
Yeah, he's certainly
better. For two games, he's run great.
And you can win titles with guys being great at a time who aren't great.
Right.
That is the stories. That's why we have these Super Bowl stories where they sit down, they talk about, because that stuff happens.
And the funny thing is that's a great, if the Patriots won the Super Bowl, he would probably be one of those guys because he's going to be a big part of it if they win these next two games. And who would have thought that in week 10?
And
week
then 12. In 5 years, we'll say, you know, you look at, you know, people might forget, LeGarrette Blount didn't have a great career, but he was great for that just January and
Timmy
February.
Timmy Smith for Washington. You know, there's guys that come out of nowhere and have great runs, and right now he's in the middle of one.
But I'm sorry, I do think that Brady and Manning go back and forth, and they are as good as each other, and there's a lot to be, there's not a clear-cut answer. Brady will help himself in the debate with a title. There is no doubt, if you go up 4-1, that's a good, just like I think Manning and Paul poo-poos it a little.
I think it ends
but
it.
But not only does Manning get a Super Bowl, if he gets a Super Bowl, he's going to do it against a really good defense.
Yes.
There's not going to be a layup team. That's, you know, how the last time, and the Patriots would have gone on to win that Super Bowl too, because the Bears sucked.
Because the Patriots are undefeated in games they didn't play.
It
fact,
is true.
Not opinion.
You can't say that about this
fact,
one.
Not opinion.
You cannot assume that the loser of this game would have beaten the NFC team, because there's two pretty good NFC defenses
on there.
So that actually helps Manning even more if he goes and
as
beats a
good defense.
As a matter
of fact, the arguments on the other side, the loser of the NFC
would have beaten the AFC. Yes.
That right?
Yeah.
Right.
I agree. That's where we're at right now.
Yeah. Let's see. Kristen writes in. Fred, I personally...
and psychiatrist, if you knew more about football, then maybe your psychiatry wouldn't be so terrible, you idiot.
You get so mad.
Wow.
Now, what does that mean that I just went off on you like that?
You get so mad.
Penis boy. I'll just throw out there
you
for
you.
You
have a lot of problems, Andy.
You do, and you always bring it back
there's
to
a
the
lot
male,
of,
I did that intentionally.
The male equipment.
Yeah. I did that intentionally. Tell me about that, Freud.
Inhibited.
You should do one of these Subway commercials so you could go like this.
Have
five
a closet
$5 foot long.
Kristen says, I personally think you are crazy, Fred, for telling Andy to stop treating women callers differently because we think it's demeaning. As a woman who loves football, I love it when I can surprise a man, when I can break down the game and discuss and most of the time argue with them about certain players and plays.
Andy, right?
My husband is the one who got me to be a Patriots fan, as he's from Boston, as before that I was a player fan, specifically Junior Seau. You can probably see how that went when he was on the Finns and the Chargers. Anyway, Andy, keep the compliments coming, as it makes us feel good and appreciated as actual fans, not just eye candy.
That's right.
You see, I think Kristen's got it backwards.
No, you don't,
Andy
actually.
Andy just thinks
no,
you
don't.
Are eye candy.
I appreciate the fact that women understand the game. Who is this, Kristen?
Yeah.
Kristen, I'm
so
glad you've seen through
so
Fred's crap.
You don't even
and you can acknowledge that I am embracing female fans on this program, something these two cavemen don't want to do.
Andy, you just...
I'm very good.
I know,
football for men.
I know, Fred, when I talk football with people, I need to know how old they are.
Yeah, and how big their breasts are.
And what they're wearing.
Right.
Yes.
You know,
those are things I need to know.
Because I can't protect you anymore.
The people have spoken.
I can't protect
the people
you.
Have spoken.
Yeah,
the women
I
like
can't protect
it.
You're going down. I
Kristen,
can't protect you anymore.
Adriana, the women love me. I can't.
The boys
help
are going down.
I give them the respect they deserve as football fans.
Kristen says, I love it when you guys argue on the show. I probably look like an idiot when I'm bursting out laughing when I'm at the grocery store shopping, but who cares? You guys are awesome. Keep it up.
Don't worry,
thank
sweet
you,
tits.
Kristen.
You never look
thanks,
like an idiot.
Kristen.
Oh, my God.
You just call her sugar tits?
Sweet tits. Can we say that?
Either way, not appropriate, but that's okay.
Yeah, even on this show.
Like the
Wait
sugar.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
The sugar or sweet was not the bad word.
You can say cat, and you can't say teats.
In referring to someone's.
I know I can say teats.
In referring to someone's cowardice or bravery. It has nothing to do with the genitalia.
Oh, you guys are pussies.
I don't think that's okay.
It is okay.
Are you
who's
sure?
The pussy
I decided
now?
It's okay. who's the pussy now? You got that right.
And isn't it indirectly referring to that? I mean, that's why women get so offended if you say somebody, because you're saying that women
are weak and soft.
I'm
using it in reference to bravery or cowardice.
Right, which comes from the fact that men are brave and women are cowardice.
Joe writes,
you
want to
make $5
before you go to Joe,
way?
Fred? Now we're getting updates on the Ryan thing. A source says Ryan's new deal allows the Jets an option to escape early.
So it's still not even year a multi-year extension.
So we still don't know how many.
So he got nothing.
We don't know how many years.
And that
the,
was a source
was
that should
for.
Keep his mouth shut. Because this is all a
now it's an Ian Rappaport tweet, so take that face
so
value.
It's not even true.
Yeah.
Because this is all about perception. That's what this extension
right.
is for.
Right. So the players know that they've right. got a guy that can has some
actually
clout.
Makes decisions, right. and I'm not just going to go talk to Idzik up the back steps.
Joe says, do you think Manning would have had more Super Bowls if he had Bill Belichick as a coach his whole career?
God, yes.
Yeah, no doubt.
God, yes. I'll tell you, a guy just got a job, Jim Caldwell, who I don't think very much of. I've never been impressed with anything about Jim Caldwell.
I haven't either, but did you hear Jeff Saturday talk about him?
No.
He's glowing. Glowing. Talking about what a teacher he is. He's has a great way about correcting mistakes. He's forceful, but
he doesn't
not,
yell at us.
No, well, he didn't say it. He didn't
You're
say
such
that.
An a-hole. You really are.
He just said that he has a great way of correcting mistakes, just a great demeanor. I just was really surprised because I thought he was a corpse.
Right.
Jim Caldwell. The year they went undefeated, that Dungy gave him the team, I thought he did nothing with that team. I thought they just coached it. They coached themselves and almost won the Super Bowl despite the fact that they, you know, Barry Switzer, like, despite the fact they didn't right. have a head coach. And then I was listening to Saturday talk about it, and I was really surprised with how glowing he was in his recommendation.
By the way, my perception, I don't think Bill Belichick yells a lot.
No.
Just so you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think he yells a lot at all.
He's clearly in charge, but I don't think
he talks
he's a
normally
yeller.
And carries a massive stick.
Yeah, he's yelled at me.
See,
that's funny. He didn't yell at me, and I still got the point.
it's same with me. When he was upset at me for something, he did not raise his voice once.
Has he yelled at you? Or were you aware that he was
mad?
There's a difference.
Yeah. In one situation, he was yelling. But it wasn't really at me. It was about a situation that he wanted me to fix. So.
But, like, Charlie Weiss is a yeller.
Yeah. You know,
Bill O'Brien is a yeller.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick is not a yeller.
Oh, he's smiling now.
Let's go to Chester in Portland, who, by the way, Chester, everyone's saying that your call really pumped them up. Really
no,
got him over.
His call pumped you up and brought you back to the right
Chester
side.
Chester did the job. He
Chester,
got you.
MVP for the week
yes,
on PSW
Chester,
in Progress.
Hats off, my friend. You did what Andy and I could not do. You shamed Fred into becoming Fred.
At your service, guys. I'll tell you what. You know, after yesterday's show, in hearing Fred's big turnaround for Fan Nation, man, we need you. And the rally from Listener Nation, man, my head grew to the likeness of my boy Andy, and man, I got this horrible craving for macaroni and cheese and barbecue sauce, and the dreams that I've had last night are unbelievable, and as strange as they've all been, you know, they all ended with Tom Brady, cold cock, and horse face in the face, and dude, there's some serious foreshadowing going on. Listener Nation, I appreciate the love. Guys, listen. This is going to be Shane Vereen's week. This is his week to shine. He's going to be lighting it up like a Christmas tree. It's going to be on. I mean, when he's covered, Amendola and Edelman are going to capitalize. And Chandler Jones, 2 sacks, baby, at least. Counting on you. This is the one we're going to find out if we got the balls.
I'd like to have one of those be a strip sack, too.
Sure.
Big time. He's got to be quick. He's got to get him after 2 steps. He's going to catch him when he's not looking. I'm looking 31-28. Fan Nation, Super Bowl time, baby. Let's make our plans. Let's get these guys. Over and out.
Woo! All right. Chester still rallying the troops.
That would be huge. 2 sacks from Chandler Jones. Not going to lie to you. That would be big.
Yep.
If those were the only two?
It's better than his average.
No, but I mean, if you
only
get two.
Better than the average for both guys. It's better for Jones's average, and it's better than Manning's average.
It's funny, not just Chester, but a lot of people that have, you know, called the show or emailed, you know, all say the Patriots are going to do all these great things, and then they're going to win by 2 or 3. You know, it's like, oof. let's see. Brad is formerly from the Eastern Shore. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Bradley.
It's a fantastic time of year to be a Patriots fan, is it not?
It is.
It's the most difficult part I have is separating my head from my heart. And my head is saying 35-21 Broncos, but my heart is saying 34-31 Patriots. I just think we are not going to be denied. I think this is one of those David and Goliath that Belichick is able to bring his team to a level that says we are not going to let Peyton and the Pretty Boys you know, walk all over us today. That's not going to happen.
Right.
You don't actually believe that, Brad, because you just told me your brain is picking 35-21. So you think the Patriots are going to fail. Your heart and your hope is that they can do what you just said.
Oh, and that's why, isn't that the, and for those of us that are lifelong Pats fans, isn't that been the modus operandi of every Patriots fan?
Yes.
Is, man, no matter how good we are, we just think that bad thing is going to happen. And
not anymore.
No, but he's saying you go with your heart. This is like what I told you I did with the Patriots and the Bears.
But and
my head told me everything going into that game, the Patriots had no chance. But by the time the game started, I was convinced the Patriots were winning the game.
But now,
and then when Peyton fumbled on the first drive,
woo!
But now I was in, baby.
But that's changed. I mean, now it's you expect to win because that's what they do, not because the other shoe's going to drop. That was a long time ago with Red Sox.
I didn't think they were going to lose to the Bears because I was expecting the other shoe to drop.
And you can't remove that feeling that people dealt with, you know, when they were younger, for a longer period of time.
If you haven't gotten over that by now, you haven't been paying attention since so
but
long.
I wasn't.
Oh, no, that's not true, because what we've had the last 3 years is my biggest fear, and that is I've seen way too much of the uniform number 28 with the name Gregory instead of seeing a face mask with a 28 hitting somebody. And the last 3 or 4 weeks, it's been total chase mode for that guy. And I know I've been drumming him all year, but...
So Steve Gregory has killed your confidence?
Well, Gregory, you know, he's the last line of defense.
Ah.
And if he pulls another
You're
one...
You're stronger
like
than that, Brad. Come on, have some more fortitude.
Hey, I'm telling you, I think this game is going to rest on Jamie Collins being able to cover somebody better than Steve Gregory can cover.
Well, they're all going to have to cover as part of the problem.
Right, but I think Steve Gregory has been one of our Achilles heels all year long.
I disagree.
And I think that Jamie Collins is going to have to be covering somebody better than Gregory can, or we're going to be in big trouble on defense. If we're expecting Gregory to stay one-on-one with somebody for longer than 3 seconds.
Well, I got to tell you, I think if you're expecting Jamie Collins to just run with Julius Thomas and cover him, you're in trouble. It's not going to happen.
You're not asking safeties and linebackers to do that one-on-one.
I saw a great performance. I acknowledged a great performance. But I can't just say, well, he's going to cover the guy who's, you know, a freakish basketball player, athletic tight end. Every play, we're just going to run around. It's going to take team pass defense. There is no doubt about that. If they do not play good team pass defense, that's not any one, two,
right.
or three people.
You're right.
They will not win.
It's scheme. Yeah. It's all about scheme. It's not
but execution.
It's performance.
Because one-on-one, they're going to lose.
It's execution.
But they're not going to be asked to do
it's all
one-on-one.
Seven guys.
It's performance.
Actually,
they
it's all
play.
11 guys with the pass rush, but it's all seven guys doing their job. Because Manning will find the guy that isn't.
And it's like when we talk in training camp
Unless
every year.
They can get to him.
They do the one-on-one drills.
Kill the head.
You know, in training camp, and we always say, you know, the linebackers are lined up on the tight ends and the running backs. And they're like, that's, you know, it's just, there's nobody that can do that. No one can, and that's true.
Right.
Because those guys, they have an unbelievable advantage. Julius Thomas has an advantage if he's going to go one-on-one with Steve Gregory. I'm sorry. He has an advantage if he goes one-on-one with Jamie Collins. Those guys have to play at a high level and not blow an assignment because they know they're going to be bracketing people and
they need help from the pass
flooding
rush.
Zones and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. If Manning has time, you're screwed. It's pretty much any quarterback, you know? And then you put one of the best ever.
So evidently the Patriots offensive line stinks because Manning wouldn't have had time if he was the Patriots quarterback.
And that's right.
Well, they have their issues about halfway through
the
year.
They wouldn't have made the playoffs.
Yeah. Ted writes in.
Teddy!
You know, he would have been like, oh, my God, I lost my right tackle.
He did. Oh, it was his left tackle, and he was an all-pro, not a Jag.
Eh.
Oh, somebody wanted me to say, my husband cannot throw the ball and catch the ball and take his cough syrup, too.
Ted in Pittsburgh says, first, there's something in the water in Georgia because Al and Joel have more screws loose than a Hernandez family picnic.
See, now that's a Hernandez joke that's kind of funny. Like, not all of them are funny. That one's good.
I love the media on media crime you guys give out. I was wondering if you guys could give the top three Patriots haters in your opinion. These are mine: Tom Jackson, Bill Polian, and Merrill Hodge. Love the show. I hope each one of these guys develops the clap. Who are your top three Patriots haters that you know of? I got to put
Marshall
Ladanian.
Falk. I think
Falk.
Would be,
I got to put in there.
Falk is pretty high.
Yeah, although I hear he's been saying nice things lately.
Well,
but I think he hates
him.
See, don't confuse like picking a team to win.
I know.
With, hating them.
He hates them.
Yeah. Tom Jackson picks the Patriots to win every week.
I think Mark Schlereth hates the Patriots.
Oh, I wouldn't put him in the top.
I never heard him.
No.
Oh, I have.
He loves the Broncos. Yeah. He doesn't. I'm not sure he hates the Patriots. I would have Falk and Jackson would be in my top
three. See, I don't know. I think Tom Jackson made a mistake.
And now I think he hates them
because
they didn't.
Because of that.
Really? But I think the aftermath
of
that, you know, the whole handshake and go bleep yourself or whatever the hell he said to him. I think now it's personal.
But I think Tom Jackson would have liked to have made up for that, but he wasn't given the
opportunity. But when he did,
and I think that's why he hates them now. Yep. Okay. I don't think he hated them then.
Yeah.
Right. I think he said something based on an observation.
Right.
Based on Teddy Bruschi's comments. Yeah. And then when it went bad on him and he tried to apologize for it, they told him where he could go. And I think he hates him because Chris Carter, I think, is a guy that doesn't like the Patriots very much.
Who's that other guy? The regular writer. Is it Easterbrook?
Oh, yeah, Greg Easterbrook.
He hates him. And I put those guys in a different category.
Pete
Prisco. I don't think Pete Prisco hates him. I think Pete Prisco loves the attention he gets when he pretends he hates him.
You know what he is? He's a troll.
Oh,
he's a troller.
Vito Stellino.
Oh, Vito Stellino. Number one.
Vito hates
him. Top of the list.
Vito sometimes he hates for no reason.
To me, you need two categories. I don't really have a problem with an ex-player hating them.
That's why I don't put Pelion in that category.
So in that group is one, and then Vito Stellino, I don't know why.
There are writers out there that seem to have a pathological hatred, and I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't, I you know.
Because they really do root for the team that
like,
they
Like, does
cover.
Dan Shaughnessy hate them?
But I guess
the
you're
Patriots?
Right.
Patriots?
You're right.
I think he doesn't like Belichick. He doesn't like Kraft. I don't think he
could
care.
That's a big part of the Patriots.
No, I don't think he could care less about the Patriots. He just doesn't like those two.
But so does he, like, root against them because that
because it hurts,
hurts the other
hurts
two that he hates.
If the Patriots
I think
lose.
He's one of those sports writers, and they annoy me, but I honestly don't think he cares who wins. He
no,
just likes
I don't
to,
either.
He just likes to
like
stir it up. And
Belichick.
No, I don't think that I agree with.
Because he took
like,
some shots again this week. In
oh,
that
yeah,
thing,
the
know,
high the, chair and all that
yeah,
stuff.
The high chairs to Mile High.
Yeah. So, and everybody says.
Paul, you okay over there?
Yeah.
Your belly hurt?
No, I'm good.
What? With what?
I don't know. He grabbed his belly out of nowhere.
So, yeah, it's a long list of haters.
Need a big hand for that.
That are out there. A lot of people think that Phil Simms hates the Patriots.
Oh,
he doesn't.
That's the opposite.
Yeah, yes. He doesn't really.
Phil Simms is in the other club that the Patriots, the Boomer Esiason and the Patriots could do no wrong club. Every time one of these guys says something that sort of has a negative connotation, it means that they hate, like, you know, like Boomer had a comment about Spygate this week. Boomer absolutely loves the Patriots and everything they've done. But after the Cowher interview, evidently he said something about you have to talk about Spygate, you know, when you're talking about Belichick and all that, which is just kind of a statement of fact.
Right.
And forget it. Boomer, he's against us. He's like, you know, forget about the last 12 years that he's been, like, genuflecting in front of the Patriots every opportunity.
Well, plus there's then the guys like Phil Simms would be in that club of, you know, they're so close, their son may or may not have worked for the organization for a while, club.
Right.
There's a lot of those guys, too.
Chris Berman.
Right.
Right. What's his name? Lombardi.
No.
Oh, well, I don't see. That's another one I don't really count as a media guy.
Right.
Even though he was.
He was.
He wasn't. No, like Polian.
He didn't have a logo on his chest.
No, but like Polian. Polian is a media guy now, but I don't really perceive him as a media guy.
Right.
I think
his roots are the game itself.
And the reason he doesn't like the Patriots is because he was in charge of the Colts, and that was their chief rival.
Right.
Like, I think if Polian...
I think it's a little more than that.
Yeah, see, I think if Polian was the GM of the Cleveland Browns, he wouldn't have... Well, bad example. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I don't think he'd have any hatred for Bill Belichick.
I don't think he and Belichick see eye to eye.
But they wouldn't have never had... They don't. But they would have never had the opportunities to sort of butt heads.
It wouldn't
like
be as bad, but I think he would dislike him.
No, I think that he genuinely dislikes him, but I don't think he would have had the opportunity to understand how much he
I think he thinks Belichick does things the wrong way.
What about the Mike and Mike guys? I know one of them is
a
Jets fan.
Yeah, Greeny is a huge Jets fan.
But that's like a Jets fan hate. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm supposed to hate
him. And it's unbelievable respect for Belichick at every turn.
Yeah.
And it's also a little bit, I can't believe this guy could have been our coach. You know, that kind of stuff.
Well, you want to talk about, like, you know, when you're cursed. Like, the Cleveland Browns can't win anything, and they had the greatest coach. You know, Peyton Manning called him the best. He's going to go down as the best coach of all time.
They should hate Art Modell.
Right?
They should hate.
And
right?
They had him for 5 years, and they hated him.
Right.
Not only that they don't have him anymore. They hated him. Yeah. He was there, and they didn't like him.
You know, he screwed.
That's why Art Modell got rid of him. Art Modell wasn't the only one who didn't like him.
Yeah.
So if you're Cleveland and you can't win anything, we had this guy, and we didn't even think he was any good.
Yeah, but he wasn't
like, we're such losers.
He was more a-hole than genius then. Now he's more genius than a-hole.
And the Jets, who haven't won anything in forever, you know, he was the heir apparent. He was all set to take
over. See, I actually think they should kick themselves more because I think if you believe that he learned something in Cleveland, so that the second time he'd be
like
better.
He was going to be. He was going to succeed no matter what the second time.
The Jets should be the one kicking themselves. He had already learned from Cleveland. Now he was ready, and you effed that up.
I love it because I hate the Jets. The only thing better is if it was Miami that he screwed, because I hate Miami worse than everybody.
Let's go to Gabe.
This is our time, Andy.
Gabe's on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Gabe.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
show this year. It's been great. One thing I wanted to ask you guys for, I'm not a lifelong Patriot fan, but when Favre started losing his steam in 2010, I kind of thought, yeah, okay, what other quarterbacks are in the league? And so I started following the Patriots. So I know if I'm not a lifelong fan like you guys, but I've been in and out every year, you know, getting excited, and I'm hoping they get a Super Bowl this year. But how do you guys respond to the people that do the, oh, it's the weak division argument, you know, that Belichick and Brady, they're great, but they've been in a weak division. Like JT the Brick on Fox Sports Radio was saying the other day how he wants to see the Patriots earn it this year. And I thought to myself, of all the years that they needed to earn it, it was this year, and they have. I mean, it's been – how do you guys respond to those talking heads?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, with all the injuries they've had, how can you not say that they've earned every one of these wins that they've gotten? I mean, I don't know.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Tell them they're morons. It's very simple.
Okay.
Tell them your mother's a weak division or something.
They're
not going to bring sanity to the table and admit that the Patriots are good or great and that just it's all based on one weak division.
Other than the NFC West, the AFC East has the best out-of-division record in the NFL.
But that doesn't mean anything.
But it's something.
Stats are for losers.
I know, but he's looking for ammo.
But the AFC East is terrible. But that doesn't have anything to do with the fact that the Patriots are very good. They beat other teams that are in other divisions.
But I think the argument
that's
is...
What I
mean,
yeah.
The AFC West had two other playoff teams in it.
Yeah. So. But they beat the Broncos. I mean, they're not in the AFC East. They beat the Broncos.
Right.
Like, they have victories.
That's my point.
You
play
the beat
schedule
other teams.
You have. They beat the Saints. They beat the Broncos.
They beat the Ravens.
Yeah.
I mean, you can only play the game. But it doesn't matter. And nobody thought they were going to stink. And nobody thought they stunk at the time.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody was picking the Ravens. I was picking the Ravens. Everybody thought the Ravens were getting hot at the right time. They didn't stink.
Right.
Mm. Well, now he knows.
As Michael Holly would say.
Mm. This guy. Mm. Talk about revisionist history
over there. All
right,
Gabe, hang in there. Mm. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
What's up?
As usual. But
pay attention to the road, please. You're drifting in and out of lanes.
No, I'm not drifting out. You talking about haterade? I got haterade where I see it. Especially since the Panthers lost. Boy, do I get haterade. But I got three concerns.
Peyton Manning.
I don't know if Aaron Dobson's going to play. What's your second concern?
Second concern is Arrington and Gregory.
Yes, that's a legitimate concern because you're going to have to go 5-6 deep in the defensive backs. If you think those are your two worst, that's a concern.
You need them all to play, and you need them all to play reasonably well.
That's a fair concern, Eldridge.
Fair concern. But other than that, you know,
there's only two. Where's the third?
I actually had one of them.
But if Dawson and Thompson were, I heard Thompson out again because he's hurt again.
Tompkins?
But he played.
He's
concussed. That's what I heard on the radio.
He has a hip and a concussion. He's not out. He has a hip and a concussion. He's limited in practice. He said the other day, you know, feeling good or something. I don't know, you know, whatever that means.
Okay. So all we got to worry about, Denver got to worry about, is Edelman and Amendola.
And right? Austin Colley.
And Austin Colley.
Austin Colley, 6 catches, a touchdown, 86 yards. You don't buy it, huh?
Well.
Wait a minute. You started out with 3 concerns. What were they? I'm confused. It was Dobson was one of them?
No. Receiving core.
Arrington and
now is that Arrington and Gregory, is that one concern or two?
That's two. That's two together. You know what I mean? One.
So it's one. Okay, so the next concern is what?
Well, I don't know. I'm just my love. I'm like, okay, we got that much effort on receiving core. You ain't got that much effort in the secondary, but I love the way they do some lining playing lately. And Collins, my hat's off to him. I didn't think he was that athletic or that fast, but last week he showed me a lot.
Yeah, he did. He's not on the defensive line, but, you know.
No, and I'll say linebackers. Linebacker-wise, coverage-wise. He showed me a lot.
Yeah,
I got to take back what I said about him the first part of the year.
Yep.
Got to take that back.
Okay.
But I hope it's a success, but as we always say, go Pats. I'm behind him.
I got you. Let's hear that horn.
Nice!
That's going to go sad someday when we hear...
That's we're going to disavow all... I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, speaking of Jamie Collins, I saw an article today by someone, I didn't recognize the name, that, you know, he's on the verge of becoming a star. And it's like, let's pump the brakes a little bit.
This guy's pumping brakes. He called Zach Sudfeld the next great tight end.
Yeah.
And he's pumping the brakes after a guy has started six games and had the best game by a linebacker.
I have been ridiculously intrigued with this guy.
Do you agree or not? That we should just hold on? Okay.
Yes, because I think some people think he's literally just going to man up with Julius Thomas. Right. He'll have zero catches for 0 yards.
And that,
he's the greatest player ever.
Right. In that regard, I would say yes. But
compared to Zach Sudfeld,
I think he has a skill set that could make him a star.
You're making fun of something that I didn't say. Okay?
You said, is he the next great tight end?
I said, have some people wondering, is he going to be? When I was showing a photo, it was absolutely nothing that was, you know.
Okay, so you weren't being serious, is what you're saying. All right.
Come on.
All right, so
we
stop
never know
that
with him.
So stop that with him then.
Now, were you serious when you compared this team to the 04 team?
Yes.
Oh.
Stop that. Stop that, too.
The way it would have
been. No, I was talking to you. Stop that.
The way it would have been had they stayed healthy, yes. Yep.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep. No, people are going a little overboard on Jamie Collins now. He had one great game, and he's been showing flashes of competitive athleticism throughout the last month and a half. But let's relax a little before we, put him in Canton.
Yeah, I have been guilty of not putting him in Canton, but I have been guilty of sort of pumping this guy up a little bit prematurely because he hasn't really done it yet. But I am intrigued and have been intrigued by the skill set since they drafted him.
We do that, you know.
And I've seen a little bit more out of him. I did it with Hightower.
Looks good last year. He was competitive on some balls, and you know, we do it with guys.
And he looks the same.
They go this way or they go that way.
Well, I did it with Hightower based on the skill set that I saw early in training camp, and then it never worked out.
Andrew Luck is going to be a great quarterback.
You're not at a crossroad. Remind me to bring something up on that.
You are not at a crossroad with Andrew Luck. You don't know what Jamie Collins is going
to
be.
But there's a difference between a linebacker taken in the middle to the bottom of the second round out of Southern Miss and number one overall pick.
No, but my point is, you reach a point where, yes, I think you have legitimate reason to realize the guy's going to reach his potential. I don't think we're at that with Jamie Collins.
No.
I am at that with Andrew Luck. He is going to reach his potential and be an elite quarterback in this league.
He's done it enough.
As Dante Scarnecchia has said, you're going to win a title in this league, son. Yeah. Or whatever. Something like that.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to get out there. I thought that was really cool. I mean, yes, we love Dante, so anything he says I think is cool. But I thought that was a really nice thing to say to a guy after a game that obviously he wasn't feeling too good about himself, throwing four interceptions.
Well, what you didn't hear is when he walked away, he said, if you'd ever stop making those stupid-ass throws.
If you had me as your offensive line coach.
It was like in Cars. You got a lot of talent, son. Yeah. And that's all Lightning Queen hears when he rips him a new one afterwards.
Canadian Mike in
Knoxville,
Florida says, speaking of legacy, now Peyton Manning says that Belichick will go down as the best coach ever, a statement that, in my mind, says, of course Belichick is the best ever, and because of that, it diminishes what Brady has done, and I'm really the better quarterback.
I love how people are reading so much into
I
this.
I love it.
Here's the thing,
you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
But they learned it from watching Fred.
That's true.
This is what Fred does.
It's true.
He perceives things that aren't said into comments all the time. Right?
What is your legitimate take on this? What was your reaction?
I think he's doing exactly what the Patriots do a lot, and they're
blow you smoke don't think, up somebody's ass.
You right. don't think that he honestly thinks that Belichick is a great coach?
Oh, he said the greatest coach ever.
You don't think he thinks that?
Probably because only the greatest coach ever could beat him the way the Patriots beat him.
So
that's
absurd.
Probably what's in his mind.
You're so upset.
He has to be the greatest coach ever, otherwise I would have beat him every time.
I can't keep track of your opinions of Peyton Manning.
So does he
they
think
vary
Mike
so much.
Is the greatest coach
right?
ever.
Right?
And
they vary so
Paul,
much from one to one.
We're gearing up to game time, okay? Just relax.
Why can't we say we have the greatest coach ever, even the guy going against?
But I had a young kid on the line. I was just going to go to him. He hung up because we kept talking.
I just want to know, do you like Peyton Manning or do you hate Peyton Manning? I can't tell.
I think Peyton Manning's great.
Penis head.
That's all I'm wondering.
Despite his flaws, he's great.
We all have flaws. But I can't tell you if you think he sucks or if you think he's great. Yeah. You keep vacillating back and forth from hour to hour, from minute to minute.
When he was born, they had to pull the skin down from his head and cut it off.
Wow. That wasn't as good as the other one, but that was good.
But it was funny.
It was better than his lame two attempts yesterday.
Those were awful.
Oh, boy. Let's see. emailer says, it's all about what the Patriots' D-line can do against the Broncos' O-line. They need to get pressure up the middle and force Manning to move laterally and throw on the run, get him off his spot. Pressure is the key. They also need to slow down Marino, hold him under 120 yards.
Who's that?
And the Patriots win the game.
Who's that?
Wing Brundog or something like that.
Wing Brundog. Yeah. Well, I agree 1,000% with him. I think the key is the defensive line.
I think he's been talking about the pressure.
Edge.
Because I think the middle of their line is pretty good. I think the edge you can beat.
But I think that you also need to not allow them to run the ball. You can't allow them to keep you off balance. You need to make them have to throw the ball or have to do whatever they have to do.
All right, Steve is back on the line. Steve's
or
in
have
LA.
To do whatever they
if
have
you,
to
if
do.
If you don't have any idea, the game here, they ran the ball down their throats, but they couldn't throw it because of the weather.
Correct.
If they'll be able to throw it and run it, I don't think you're going to stop them.
Hey, Steve, what's going on?
Hey, what's up?
Nothing much.
What's up, Steve?
Just this.
Are you sick from school today? You got school? You're off?
What?
I'm 42.
You're not in school today?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what do you like about this game, Steve?
He's your mama.
Well, what do you think about Tom Brady's injury? So-called bullshit.
Steve, why did you have to do that?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He just came out too soon.
Nice, Kevin. Good job for the
He's school. A little kid.
Yeah.
Trying to throw him a bone. He sounded nice on the phone.
Well, he came out too soon.
He's obviously sick at home. And he's
Steve,
playing.
I think that Tom is not feeling great, but he is back today. He practiced. He'll be fine. He'll play in the game.
Paul, he was
Sundays.
Pranking us. Don't give him a...
That's all I want to tell you.
Okay.
Maybe he just talks that way.
Yeah, maybe. Like we were talking before, how kids talk today.
And you think the C word is going to be acceptable soon.
Yeah, I do.
Acceptable?
Okay.
Yeah, I messed it up.
Maybe I'm being naive. I don't think that he did that. I think he just swore by accident. I think that's how people talk.
How old do we think he is?
Probably like 12.
I don't think he pranked us.
I think he was right about Brady's injury or sickness. It's bush.
By the way, you sound drastically different because you're twisting the bottom of your mic.
Just stop.
I tightened. There was a thing that was loose. So
no,
I
that thing, that swivel on the bottom, there's different settings on it. Hello? That's much better.
Really? It actually changes.
You
things?
Sound very, very tinny when it was when you switched.
Tell
it,
me
yes.
when to stop. Good, 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 good. Where do you
stop.
Want
stop?
Is that good
just
now?
Just stop everything.
Just stop it.
I changed it. Stop! Did you know that had that? Yours has it too, Fred.
Yeah, mine does too.
It's like it changes the way you sound.
Yeah. Well. Oh yeah. I'm just glad it's working. So.
Scott, we talk into the mics, but when you do real radio, they always
much
want you to hold it like straight up. You notice that? Or down. I think they hang, actually.
Well, I don't think it matters because they're omnidirectional, so you don't have to speak.
No, it always matters because they always come in.
This is how I would talk if I was at a radio station.
And they make you. I've done it where you go like this, and they'll like you start the show, and the producer comes in and straightens up the mic and wants you to talk like that.
Why is that?
Kevin?
I don't know. We got two monkeys behind the glass. You got
to
answer, guys?
You're supposed to talk into it.
Lumpy Jr.? Anybody?
No, but if I do this, they
it sounds
want
very good.
You to do it like this.
It sounds bad when you do that. When that's much better.
Okay.
This is better than this.
Now, what about they have
so
those
why don't
microphones
you do it like that
with
and,
the little rubbers?
What say your dad? They don't do it like that at EEI.
The other way, he's saying it picks up more noise.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's not good.
Especially but that thing on the bottom, us. Andy, is made for like, if you, for example, if you wanted to drop some beats and start singing, there's like a singing setting, a talk show setting, all sorts of different ones.
Stop that.
Let's go to Tom in Alaska.
Bring back memories of my rap.
Tom.
Tommy!
He froze.
Hey guys, been listening for a little while and been trying to get a call in, but I got work at this time here in Alaska, a little different than you guys. A couple questions.
What do you do for work?
I build trusses.
Oh, for houses?
Trusses. Yep.
For large women.
They got to be strong because there's a lot of snow up there.
Yeah, there is definitely a strength factor for snow load.
Oh, nice. Now, do you put a metal roof on top of that?
I've done metal roofing in other states, but we do aluminum up here usually, or tin.
Oh, how come?
It slides. Snow, rain, stuff like that. It also has like about a 30-year guarantee.
Oh, okay. All right, what do you got?
Two questions. Do you see Bill trading the 32nd pick this year?
Good time, good.
And if you do see him trading that, are we going to go for more offensive line depth? We're really stacked next year if we get everybody back healthy.
I just think it's going to depend on who's on the board.
I don't think tight end's ridiculous. You know, Paul was talking about one of the mocks. I forgot who it was, has a tight end.
Mel Kiper, Jason Morrow.
And
I would be very surprised if that was a first round pick. I don't think it's ridiculous, but I would be surprised if it.
I think they need some playmakers on offense. I mean, they don't have any playmakers. You could lose Edelman, or you know, choose not to reinvest in Edelman. I think there's you could use some playmakers.
I see us really heavy on a defensive line next year, and I'm worried that we're going to lose, you know, a couple of good playmakers.
You think they're heavy on the defensive line?
Well, we got Kelly and Wilfurker injured. We got Armstead possibly coming in, and he was, you know, projected high and went to CFL. So, you know, if he comes back healthy.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a lot of ifs there. You have three guys, you know, two of them are old guys coming off injury, one of them off a significant injury.
Who may or may not weigh about 450 pounds right
now. Yeah, and a guy who's never played an NFL snap who had to miss his whole year. For whatever reason, you know, for some infection.
If they're all healthy and there, okay, I'm feeling pretty good.
But if they were all healthy and playing at a high level, I'd be feeling pretty good.
And plus, Wilfork has like an $8 million cap number. He could have some finagling done with his contract.
And that's the that's the interior part. I don't think there's any depth on the outside,
just
really
Buchanan.
At all. And you, knock on wood, got away with that because Chandler Jones and Rob Ninkovich played every game. In some cases, almost every snap. For those two guys. I don't think you had a suitable replacement for those guys.
And free agency. I mean, if you lose Tlaib, now you're back to where your cornerback position doesn't look
great. I think defensive line is a big area of need.
By all accounts, according to what I tell you, yes, the safety and corner very, very deep this year's draft.
Is that what you're hearing, Andy?
That's what I'm hearing.
Thanks,
why don't you just handle the combine then, since you're hearing this
stuff? Why don't you just handle
All right, Paul, it's that time of the show where we have to do our picks. Let me find out who's playing this week. There's no buys this week, so we have to hurry.
Well, we are going to have to jump over the 3 o'clock game and then come back.
Right. Come back to it.
Okay.
So what happened last week?
The playoffs are continuing to be a different story from the regular season.
Okay.
I won the week along with Fred.
Yeah,
Fred,
so
and I went,
the book.
Fred and I went 4-0.
Are you 8-0?
Freddie.
Anybody 8-0?
No.
Oh.
Freddie 4-0.
Yep.
Freddie should have been 4-0.
Thank you.
Dictator wave is in full effect.
Andy, congratulations. You bounced back from your 0-4, went 3-1.
Ooh, nice.
So that's a good
500,
job.
500, here I come, bitches.
Eric, you bounced back, but not as well as Andy from your 0-4. You went 2-2.
Too bad.
Eric
two
is
and
back.
2 bad.
2-6.
So with the spread. Eric and Paul went 2-2. Andy and Fred went 1-3.
Mm-hmm.
We all, the three of us, got screwed in the Denver game. We all should have had a cover on that. Thank you, Eric Decker, for costing us the cover. But here are the standings postseason.
Standings.
Paul at the top, 7-1. No
Keeps
surprise
the
there.
Keeps the book.
Fred at 6-2.
No
Andy,
surprise there.
3-5. And Eric, 2-6. 2-6. That's tough.
I'm coming, baby.
It's really making me
then
not
you're
like,
then you're
it's really
like
making
pick,
me
then.
Not liking your pick with this one.
No, Patriots fans are going to like my pick then.
Okay.
Okay.
Good distinction. With the spread, Eric is leading. Eric is leading with the spread, however. 4-3-1.
That's the big boy.
Paul and Fred, 3-4-1. Andy is 2-5-1.
Okay.
Okay.
I did Fred's dictator wave right there.
So now we have two games to worry
about. Two games.
Not one, but two games.
Oh, man. I got to win both to get to 500.
As Andy teased, we're going to skip over the 3 o'clock AFC Championship, and we're going to go to the late game.
Just hoping you get to 500, Andy.
The San Francisco 49ers traveling to Seattle to
another
face
little hint.
The Seahawks and the 12th man.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I think.
How come they never get a flag for too many men on the field?
An epic, epic game.
Yeah, when did.
I won't be able to watch it.
Why?
We'll be on
because
the plane.
We're on that stupid plane again that we have without the live TVs.
That's right.
Why?
You're right.
They're using this plane that doesn't have live TV.
Why?
What does it have?
I don't know why.
Wait, what does it have? Just on-demand stuff?
It has on-demand stuff, but no live.
They're nice screens, and it's got everything.
It's actually
nice.
A really beautiful plane, but they didn't put the live TV aspect into it.
Right.
They redid this whole interior, but it's they forgot
strange.
The live TV part.
Because, you guys would get it. You'd be back on the plane in time to see, the second half.
The second half, at least. Yeah.
That's too bad.
So, I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to have to figure something out.
Yeah. All right. I know Fred wants to skip over the 3 o'clock game, the Patriots game, and go right to the NFC Championship, which is San Francisco at Seattle, where the Seahawks are favored by 3.5.
3.5. So, basically a push.
Seahawks favored by 3.
Mm-mm. It's a tough place to play.
Yes.
Sure is.
Throw out the records when these teams get together. They don't like each other.
Very true.
Intra-division matchup.
Coaches hate each other. Long-standing rivalry.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Back going to back USC to college. Stanford.
Yep.
I am going to go with the road team here.
Wow.
I think they have a better offense right now. I think their defense is playing well right now. They're physical. And I think, A, I think Frank Gore can run on the Seahawks. And B, I just think Colin Kaepernick is making the plays he needs to make right now. I think it's going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to it. Physical, like I said, I liked the Panthers 49ers game. It fell apart at halftime. I think this one's going to go down to the wire. I think this will be a heavyweight fight, some slugging back and forth. But I'm going with Harbaugh. I'm going with Kaepernick, who I hate. I can't hate anymore, but he's going to go to the Super Bowl again.
Okay.
All those things you said are true, except I think it's really, really difficult. It's not impossible, we've seen, but it's really, really difficult for a team to win three games on the road in the playoffs, especially a team that you're so familiar with. These teams split in the regular season, so I'm going to give the edge to the home team. I will take Seattle to win and to cover. I think it'll be a seven-point victory for the Seattle Carols.
Okay. Petey's pom-poms.
And the Seahawks go back to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I am a little concerned that Pete has run out of the stuff. His boys don't seem to be playing as well lately. I think that the nutritional value is lacking.
Uh-oh.
I agree with everything Andy said about this game. I think the Niners are playing well. I think defensively they're at least the equal of Seattle, if not better. I think Seattle is a little bit vulnerable to the run. I thought New Orleans ran the ball well against them at times last week. And I don't think Kaepernick is going to fold the way Drew Brees did outside. I think he makes some plays with his legs, and I think that's enough.
Because he's the man.
Not going to be easy.
He's the man.
Not going to be easy to win in Seattle. But I think San Francisco right now, I'm going with the hotter team. I think they're playing better than Seattle right now, and I'm going to go with the road upset.
So far, Eric is the only one that picked the Seahawks, and he is wrong.
Oh.
The 49ers win this game. However, not without controversy. Kaepernick runs in the winning touchdown, and when he gets into the end zone, he puts a one with one hand and a two showing the 12th man, and then he gives the fans the middle finger after that. So that will be the controversy.
I was waiting for the punchline, and he was being serious.
That will be the controversy coming out of the game with the 49ers winning and going on to the Super Bowl. So
wow. No chance.
Maybe
no
the
chance
one,
that
maybe
they
the
win
one
that he gives the
one
in
the 12. The one in the 12 is the middle finger.
Yeah.
Maybe tries to get away with it by doing it that
way.
Oh,
maybe he uses
maybe
the middle finger.
Maybe he does
as
this.
The one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll get away with it.
I don't think so either, but
everybody counts with their middle finger.
He's a very
ball
emotional guy
nowadays.
When he gets into that end zone, funny things happen, you know? Who knows?
All right.
So we go back.
With that
wonderful
o'clock.
Anecdote, we'll go back to the
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock AFC title game. The Pat Rots go to Denver. Broncos by 5.5.
Well, what Jeff in Vegas was saying, it was back up to 6.
It was touching 6 in MGM.
Touching 6.
I'm just quoting him.
Well, I mean, it was down to 4-something, so you have it trending the other way. So maybe after the Herald went to print.
Okay, so we're going to go with 5.5.
That's what the Herald was today. That's the lines we use.
I don't really care. I know this is not going to be popular. I've picked the Patriots to lose in Denver in the playoffs before. I've been right before in picking that.
And like that game, you will not be at this one either.
Good point. Like that game, I will be watching this one, unlike that game.
He's never seen that game.
I just think it's – the good weather is such a big deal to me. The fact that it's going to be 60 degrees and, like, no wind. I think Manning has too many weapons. He's healthy right now. As much as I say I think Ninkovich and Jones need to hit him and get around him, I don't think it's going to happen enough. I think this secondary was spread too thin. They are healthy, but even recently we've seen guys come off the field every week. So even when you're going to need your 6 defensive backs or whatever it may be, you're going to be down to 5 or one of them. I just think it's a matchup, and I don't think their weakness right now is the secondary. The Patriots' weakness right now is they have nobody that catches the ball not named Julian Edelman. I don't think they can take advantage of their weakness. I think the Broncos are going to control this game virtually from start to finish. I am going to go 31-17 Broncos.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, one of those types of games.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think the parallel I made earlier in the show to the 06 season is going to apply in this game. I think Patriots will get out there, take advantage of some early mistakes by the Broncos, and get a 17-point lead.
Wow.
17-0, in fact. lead.
Bold prediction.
Going into the half.
Hashtag.
And then just like 06, on the road against a Peyton Manning team, Peyton Manning tears them apart in the second half, and the final score is Broncos 27, Patriots 24.
Wow.
So you are taking the points.
Oh. What are you, trying to give me a heart attack? Because if that happens, I will have one.
I know. I'm going to be very, very much afraid.
Get the paddles ready.
Listen, yeah. I told you, you need at least 10 more years. I'm not. I know I'm old. I'm not close enough to retirement yet. You got to hold on.
No.
I don't want it to happen, Fred.
Matchup wise,
I hope I am wrong.
Analytically, this all points to Denver, and I think we talked about it all week. I don't like any of the individual matchups with the Broncos passing game against the Patriots. The best part of the Patriots offense is the running game. If I'm Denver, I'm not overly worried about that. I've been able to stop the run virtually all year long. I think their average per carry, especially in runs, running against backs like Blunt, you know, between the tackles type runners, the Broncos have been able to handle them. But I just can't get past 10 and 11. That's what Peyton Manning is in the postseason. And a lot of the games that he's lost, a lot of those 11, he's had similar matchup edges as he has in this one. A lot of the games that he lost had nothing to do with Peyton Manning. He just,
like last year,
some of those guys,
Homer,
some guys just happen to have, you know, that bad luck. And I think he's got, you know, some really unfortunate things that have happened to him. I have no rational feeling for this other than the fact that I work for Patriots.com and Fred Kirsch is my boss. I'm picking the Patriots.
Suddenly
to
that
win.
Matters to you?
I am picking the Patriots to win this game.
When did that become a fact?
Right. I am picking the Patriots to win this game. I think that the Broncos will lose it more than the Patriots will win it. But it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, they don't say, well, you didn't win. The other team lost. Patriots 27, Denver 23.
The more I look at this game, the more I realize that the Denver Broncos are paper tigers. Ooh. We're not talking about,
would you say, paper
Calvin
champion?
Johnson. We're not talking about Rob Gronkowski. We're not talking about Jerry Rice. They're good receivers, but they can be stopped. And the Patriots are going to stop them by scheme, by team defense, by pressuring Manning, getting off the spot, making him move east-west, not giving him a lane to step up in. I'm telling you, the Patriots are going to do damage to this Broncos offense. They're going to hold them under 24 points, as a matter of fact. Patriots win 31-19.
Going with the Chris Berman-like 19 there in the prediction.
31-19.
How many turnovers for Denver?
Three.
Yeah, I got five.
Including a Wes Welker drop?
I just want to say, no one here thinks the Patriots are going to win.
Based on
the
those
two teams that are picking based on to the, win are picking the other team to lose.
Yeah, based on the four conversations, I would say that's accurate.
Yeah, but I am, you know, yes, Denver has to turn the ball over, but I'm saying the Patriots are going to force that. They're going to be part of the reason why they turn the ball over, whether it's a rush pass. You know, he's got a noodle arm to begin with, does Manning. And when he's throwing on his back foot, as we've seen this year, he throws into coverage. And
yeah,
it's
I've seen
happen.
That so many times.
It's going to happen.
Paul just rolled his eyes.
55-9.
Yeah, so
I've seen it countless times.
So the Patriots win this game, and not necessarily, you know, running all over the Broncos. I think they're going to come out, and I think they're going to establish the pass.
I agree.
Set up that run.
Just so you know, that has become such a I think it's going to be a little different than everybody thinks. I think they're going to throw the ball. I've heard that so often that has become what everybody thinks.
Yeah,
that
so now they're probably just running.
Plus,
the ball.
Is anybody really going to be surprised if the Patriots come out into a game and they pass the ball?
No, not at all. Fred, the most important question for you, are you mentally prepared to lose?
No.
Really?
I am not.
So you don't think there's
really
a chance they could lose?
I really am going to have to bring
the
first aid kit.
There's always a chance, but I'll be really pissed if they do.
I didn't say that.
Well, that's what I mean. When I say I'm not mentally prepared.
You don't think there's a chance they're going to lose. That's what it means to me.
Eric gets some defib training.
Not to me. Yeah.
Seriously.
What does it mean to you?
Most modern facilities have a defibrillator somewhere. You should scope it out pregame.
I've watched enough football to know that, you know.
Clear!
There's always a chance to lose. But
Andy, when Fred says that I'm not prepared to lose this game, do you feel like that he thinks there's a chance they could lose?
Not really.
I feel like he's extremely confident they're not going to lose.
Right. Because you rarely admit that you are mentally prepared to lose.
And it's usually
so you're not mentally prepared to lose this game. Yeah. You think they are going to win. You expect them to win.
Yeah, I'll be devastated.
You'll be
if they
stunned
lose.
If they lose.
I'll be
stunned.
I'll be devastated.
Stunned. I'm
emotionally distraught if they lose.
Stunned.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see.
Kirsch, colon, stunned.
Comma, dead.
Right, it'll just be like, on the blog, it'll just be a bunch of periods trailing off.
Because your nose.
All right, that's going to be it for this edition. I feel like a soldier.
You should introduce
leaving,
the guy.
Leaving my house.
The new show is coming up.
The new show, Eric
I'm
and Friends.
I'm going to. You just.
No, I want
to. Well, you were signing off, and you hadn't done a crossover.
It's unbelievable.
I'm not done yet. You just be quiet. I was just going to say, I feel like a soldier leaving home and about to go into the fray and saying goodbye to everyone before I go into battle. But that's what we're doing.
This you had to say that instead of just introducing Eric and
no
friends.
No one knows what you just said. It was stupid.
We're going out
What's
to Denver. I won't be able to talk to you until next week after the win.
Or if you
but,
die.
But, you know, we're out there to fight the good fight. Right now, we're going to hand it over to Eric Friends, who's filling in for John Rook with the playbook. Hey, Eric, how you doing? Okay, is your
I don't think
on?
I can I hear him. I can hear him either.
All right.
There we go.
Try that.
Yes.
There you go.
Now he's all doing right. Awesome and he's ready to do this.
I'm okay. Actually ready this time.
All right, so Eric, anything that we said sound crazy or where do you
all
stand
of it? All of it I mean, sounds crazy.
All
every
of
single
it.
Word of it.
Okay.
No, I mean, look, I don't feel good about the Patriots' chances going into this game, but
so you're like the other four people in
I
this
picked
room.
The wrong guy. I picked the wrong guy to fill in today.
But hey, I didn't feel good about their chances last time. They ended up pulling it out, so could happen.
So you didn't learn anything from that?
Nope.
Come on.
I'm stupid, just like everybody else, picking Peyton Manning to win in the playoffs. Go figure.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why people don't learn from their mistakes.
I don't know why you don't learn.
What am
You're
I
worried
to,
about this game.
What am I supposed to learn over the last 13 years? That the Patriots are
no.
good? Yeah, I did learn
and
that.
And throughout that time, you were confident and you weren't mentally prepared to lose.
Yeah, I did learn that the Patriots are pretty good.
They you are. Know? Has it worked for them?
Yeah.
Has it?
I'm, you know. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Hey, Eric, are you staying with Eric? Is this going to be the Eric and Eric show?
If you need a hand, I can.
And they're both
if
with a K.
Stay, you're more than welcome.
Both Erics
That's
are with
right.
a K.
He spells his name properly.
That's right.
Yes.
All right. So again.
So how you going to? Hey, Eric.
Pre-game
Eric,
social. Pre-game That's social awkward. Is at 12:45.
12:45. Revved up, ready to go, and okay. we will be in full Fred Kirsch mode.
Wait, what
you
time?
Frothing at the mouth.
What time are you
12:45
going?
12:45 Eastern. 12:45
gotcha.
Eastern.
And Mountain.
We'll no. see you next Tuesday. My heart caving. I got my scars. I've been to hell and back again. Born for the blue skies. We'll survive the rain. Born for the sunrise. We'll survive the pain.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.